of Environmental Enviro International. Thank you so much for giving me part of your day. Remember, tomorrow does matter. Tell a friend. Stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show that's coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Peter King, live in Orlando.
You know, I'm anxious to hear what happened.
That Miami man walked down 28 flights of stairs after the power went out there and over much of South Florida about 5 hours ago. Now, according to the state's Emergency Operations Center, most of the juice is back on or will be shortly. Florida Power and Light spokeswoman Althea Player says it started after a nuclear reactor near Miami, then seven other reactor plants shut down.
The system performed as it should have as a result of this type of occurrence, which resulted in outages that were felt in many parts of FPNL's system statewide.
All the way here to Central Florida and North Florida, thousands of traffic signals went out, but miraculously, says Florida Highway Patrol Lieutenant Pat Santangelo,
we actually have a lesser volume of crashes than we have on a normal afternoon.
I'm Peter King, live in Orlando. Now with more CBS News, here's Harley Carnes.
One big question for Hillary Clinton in tonight's debate with Barack Obama, and in the campaign for that matter, can she ever take off the gloves and really go after him?
Clinton has to keep in mind that she may be talking about her party's nominee. We're going to find out whether or not in this debate, where her campaign's future is very much in doubt, she's prepared to use what we might call a nuclear option.
CBS News political correspondent Jeff Greenfield. The Clinton campaign said it today again. The media has given Obama an easy, if not free, ride on tough questions. Foreclosures were up last month. Home prices were down again. Some experts say we're in the middle of a perfect storm for real estate. Robert Schiller with the S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index.
The upswing in home prices began in 97 and didn't end until 2006. So it was about 9 years of upswing, and so I wouldn't be surprised if the downswing goes on for years as well.
People who bought more home than they could afford are not affording them now, losing their homes, which increases the inventory of homes, which pushes the prices down, which gives buyers a reason to wait to purchase to see how low it can go, which increases inventories even more. Walter Maloney at the National Association of Realtors thinks, hopes we're bottoming out.
We think we'll be bringing down enough inventory in the second half of this year to support price growth for the U.S. as a whole in 2009.
General George Casey says the Army is committed to reducing combat tours in Iraq to 12 months, getting rid of the three-month extended tours.
The cumulative effects of the last six-plus years at war have left our Army out of balance, consumed by the current fight and unable to do the things we know we need to do to properly sustain our all-volunteer force and restore our flexibility for an uncertain future.
General Casey says as long as the president stays with the projected number of the active duty Army brigades in Iraq and Afghanistan by July, they can get the duty cycles back to 12 months. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 115 points, NASDAQ up 17.5 points today. This is CBS News.
Looking to diversify your portfolio? It's time to start trading foreign currencies at Forex.com. In these financial times, diversification is key. At Forex.com, we give you the tools you need to expand your investment portfolio beyond stocks and into the OTC foreign exchange market. Start trading foreign currencies 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. Go to Forex.com, open a free practice account today, and test your trading strategies risk-free. When you're ready, just click and trade. Forex.com.
Forex is an over-the-counter market and involves significant risk of loss.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/smallbusiness. Business takes Visa.
North Korea is bringing the music of the West to their country, if nothing else.
I'm Mark Miller at the White House, which views the New York Philharmonic concert in North Korea as just that, a concert, and not a diplomatic coup that will alter the nature of that country.
This is a regime that has brutally treated its people. There's a lot of starvation and repression, and people are not able to leave free and prosperous lives.
Press Secretary Dana Perino says North Korea has to make good on its promises to dismantle all of its nuclear weapons facilities, and only then might relations with it begin to normalize. Mark Noller, CBS News, The White House.
Get cold feet at the wedding altar in Mexico, and it'll cost you if a new proposal goes through. A Mexico City deputy at the National Action Party says if someone backs out, they ought to compensate the other. Mexican weddings are frequently really big deals with hundreds of guests and opulence that makes the newspapers. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
In the end, all any of us have is our good name. So at Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles, and the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer: our good name. Mercedes-Benz. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about our certified pre-owned program.
See dealer for complete details on warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Leap year means you get an extra day to get things done. At the Ace Leap Into Savings Sale, you'll find extra ways to save. Low sale prices, fantastic mail-in rebates, plus the expert help and friendly advice you'll only find at Ace. For a simple start and a fabulous finish, pick up a gallon of Ace Royal Paint at its everyday low price. Use your Ace Rewards card and earn points. Hurry, sale ends Monday at Ace, the helpful place.
Price is good at participating Ace Hardware stores while supplies last. See store for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We try to serve as your collective memory in case you suffer from that long-term memory loss. We got a great show lined up for you today. And I'm delighted to be with you, and you with me. Ari Melber from The Nation, he also writes for the Politico, is scheduled to join us here shortly. We're tracking him down. He's been covering campaign 2008 from many vantage points and venues. We're going to get geared up for the Ohio debate. We'll bring you the audio from the debate in Cleveland between Senator Clinton and Senator Obama. In our third hour today, that starts at 5:06 Pacific time, if you want to be precise. Coming up later this hour, Mel Goodman, former CIA officer, new book out called Failure of Intelligence. We'll talk torture. We'll talk the military tribunals. And we'll talk about that sticky FISA law still being debated in Washington. Professor Dan Kamen, UC Berkeley, specialist on renewable energy and global warming, those issues. He'll be with us next hour. You may know that in the last week, Richard Branson's Virgin Airlines did a test flight with a jet airliner fueled at least in part with biofuels. I don't know what the exact mixture was, but they took a big bird up in the sky and successfully flew it on this test flight. We'll find out what this means if there are renewable energy sources that can be used in jet engines that would actually help reduce the carbon output as well as our reliance on oil as the energy source. Dan Kamen coming up next hour. Jason Leopold will join us, the investigative reporter who's now freelancing, and we'll get an update on how the White House email systems were changed and what that means in terms of the missing emails that could tell us much more about what Karl Rove was up to in the plane case and many other issues, including the U.S. attorney's scandals. Also on today's program, just before the debate starts, we'll talk to Melanie Sloan from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington about the indictment of Rick Renzi in Arizona and his friend John McCain, what impact it'll have on him. Also, the McCain disclosures of the past week. Brent Wilkes, who bribed Duke Cunningham, got sentenced to, I think, 12 years in jail. We'll talk about that. And Crew has a new report out. It turns out that something like 75 members of the United States Senate have friends and family on either the campaign payroll or the office payroll Wow. 75 out of 100 senators? I find that unbelievable, but there's a new report from Crew, and we'll talk about it. And as I mentioned, we will get you the audio from the debate in Cleveland. It's at Cleveland State University, and that'll be starting up, like I said, 5:06 Pacific time today. Well, it looks like we can't find Ari Melber right now. If he checks in, we'll certainly put him on the air. But that means you and I can talk. Like to get your thoughts heading into this Ohio debate and the crucial Ohio and Texas primaries on March 4th. There is a new survey out that I'll talk about here in just a moment. But in particular, I'd like to put the question to you. If Hillary Clinton does not win big on March 4th in Ohio and Texas, it is virtually mathematically impossible for her to win the nomination. Now, I want to be fair, and I try to be fair. If Obama, as he has done in the last 11 caucuses or primaries, beats Hillary Clinton by at least 5 or 10 points in Texas and in Ohio, he will not have secured the nomination simply with those votes, with those delegates. But he will have what is viewed as an insurmountable lead, considering the delegates up for grabs in the small remaining states. Only Pennsylvania is a big state with oodles of delegates that comes up after Texas and Ohio, but it's 6 weeks after. And can Senator Clinton stay in the race for 6 weeks, losing small primaries and having lost, 14 or 16 in a row, and still be viable? So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll go to your calls here in just a moment. And there is no wrong answer, so feel free to share your views. Also, if you want to talk about Ralph Nader, I'm always open to that, too. New poll published in today's New York Times, and it was a collaboration between the Times and CBS News, shows the real strength of Barack Obama. Now, this is a nationwide poll. It doesn't have particular significance in terms of the primaries remaining. But in this poll, when you compare December 07 with February of 08, among all primary voters, Clinton declined from 44% to 38%, and Obama almost doubled. In fact, he did double, 27 to 54%. So there's a real clear surge there, a real pattern. And here's what it breaks down to. Men. Hillary Clinton had the support of 42% of men in a similar poll in December. It's now down to 28%. Barack Obama had 26% in December, and he has almost tripled, 67%. In women, Hillary Clinton, that is her strength, that's her identity politics cell, and she's unchanged. From December to February, 46%, flat. Barack Obama, 27% in December, 45% support among women nationwide in February. And I think that tells the story of the momentum. So I'd like to hear your thoughts about that. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. And I welcome your calls on this or any other subject. We'll be taking your calls till the bottom of the hour when Mel Goodman will join us. And Dave's always there, always reliable, and love your calls, Dave. Thanks for joining us today.
I always love your program, too, Peter. One of the things I'm wondering if we could get a question put to both Hillary and Obama, because if you notice, a major problem with health care in this country is the greed on the part of the insurance company, the health insurance corporation.
Right.
And they are stuffing money in the pockets of congressmen and senators. If a question could be asked of them, how do they see this problem, and do they have any plan for how to deal with it? Because I believe both of them are on the receiving end of health insurance funds.
Well, I think Hillary more than Barack, and that's kind of surprising given the anger that the industry had toward her after the health care reform attempt in the early 90s. But she has received a lot of money because, she was presumed to be the front runner for the Democratic nomination. And B, the pharmaceutical companies and healthcare interests are hedging their bets and trying to, make sure that they have a place at the table if there is a table and, negotiations underway. I don't know that Obama has received huge amounts, but I'll have to take a look at that. And I do agree that we need to know more about their intentions. And just to, again, to be fair, Hillary Clinton has been relatively consistent since the mid-90s that while she would love to see a single-payer plan, that to promote that at this time would cause the opposition to, you know, just rear up and try to kill it. And so, you know, her approach has been to offer multiple menu options to people who don't have insurance. And what she says is that if you like the insurance you have, you can keep it. And if you don't have any insurance, I want you to get on the congressional plan that, you know, I and all the members of Congress enjoy. So I think that's fairly consistent. Barack Obama, as a state senator in Illinois, and I base this on information that I got from Illinois activists at the healthcare conference that I go to every year called Families USA. And I talked to them last year, not this current conference, but in 2007. What they told me was that as a state senator, they thought Barack Obama was going to embrace a single-payer program. And in the end, he did not. And they didn't feel betrayed by him, but they did feel that he changed his mind or changed his direction. And they were politely upset about it. They felt they didn't want to go ballistic, but clearly they were disappointed about the manner in which he conducted that. Now, in the present national health care debate, I think that Obama has been fairly consistent since he introduced his plan, which was about a year ago. And on that score, he has never promised single payer. And so I don't know that there's a real issue to take up with him on that.
Well, as long as they have these big, greedy corporate and health insurance companies in the picture, they're going to be wanting as much profit as they can and to pay out as little as they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
They are motivated purely by their own greed. So they've got to be kicked out. Kucinich was the only one that was clear. They're out.
You're right.
He did his plan. And Edwards came close by offering the single-payer medical option.
But. Well, Dave, you mentioned Kucinich, and he's in a tough battle to hold on to his congressional seat in Cleveland, and we're going to talk to him tomorrow on the Air America show that I'm doing in the evening. He'll be on at 7:30 Pacific time, and you can listen on the stream at airamerica.com.
You know, I do believe that elections get rigged something terrible.
I do know you believe that, and sometimes you're right, Dave.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Ari Melber, we have tracked him down. And what is your location today, Ari?
I'm in New York State. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Well, you've been all over the place, and we should have a little Google map to track where is Ari today. So we're taking a look at the Ohio debate. We're going to broadcast the audio live when it kicks off at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific later today. And I got the TV on in front of me, and I'm not listening to it, but the text, the graphics on the screen are all speculation about whether Hillary's going to come out swinging. And the New York Times today reports the five different angles that the Clinton campaign has tried to hit Barack Obama on since the conciliatory debate in Texas last week. What's your estimation, Ari? Is this going to be another polite love fest, or do you think Hillary's going to take the gloves off?
Well, I don't know exactly how she's going to do it, but I do think she's going to continue what is basically this parallel campaign, where on the one hand, she tries to take the big media opportunities like the debates to show voters a warm and soft side and a respect for Barack Obama, but ultimately, frankly, it's a disingenuous respect because her campaign has been absolutely scurrilous and misleading here in the closing stretch. We talked about this recently, the way that they have tried to raise the specter of racial politics and division and then deny that they're doing it, the undemocratic things that they have proposed in terms of trying to steal the race despite the votes in the majority of the states. These are very concerning, I think, and so we're going to see more of that parallel attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it'll be interesting to see how she weaves in some of the commentary about her criticisms of his foreign policy, lack of experience. And it'll also be interesting to see, as the front runner who's playing it safe, just how hard he pushes back. Because in some respects, he doesn't really need to, you know, answer these things in great detail from a political point of view. But I think that he will probably be drawn into responding at least on some level. And it'll just be interesting to see how he manages that. Ari, I got to run to a break here, and we'll continue in just a moment. Ari Melber is with us. He writes for The Nation. You can read his dispatches at thenation.com. And he also published a piece at the Politico, politico.com. We'll try to get to that in the next segment. If you want to comment on the Ohio debate coming up, give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
This is a poem, a love poem, for my son Nicolino. I bring you a poem. My love, when you ask me, what have you brought me? This is what I will do. I will take out of the suitcase of myself, mumbling, let's see here, and oh yes, out of my ears, the sound of an engine circling the clouds above a city, a sound like thunder or a waterfall, or cars driving over a metal bridge, or bees humming, or drummers drumming. You listen with me, and we widen our eyes at its power. From my eyes, the clouds pulled over the earth like a blanket, and the white-covered mountains, the pillows the elephant sleeps on, the old elephant earth with his wrinkly gray, dusty skin. We see his bulges beneath the cloud blanket, and we sing to him because he likes that when he goes to sleep. From my nose, the smell of eucalyptus buttons and jasmine flowers. This is like Pasadena, you say. Yes, it is. But what is so heavy in there still, Mommy? Ah, this. It is my heart. I give it to you. I carried it everywhere for you, where it beat with gladness at the thought of your smile. Here. Now it is light. It is yours to have.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
More and more troops and veterans of Iraq believe George Bush's military policy has been a disaster. I am one of them. Rush Limbaugh called vets like me phony soldiers for telling the truth about Iraq. Rush, the shrapnel I took to my head was real. My traumatic brain injury was real. And my belief that we are on the wrong course in Iraq is real. Until you have the guts to call me a phony soldier to my face, stop telling lies about my service.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes. Like a game of chess when the house is a mess,
or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie,
just another song and dance.
Another poor sucker who's never had a chance.
Ari Melber from The Nation, who also freelances at the Politico, is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show right now. And Ari, I'm struck by the New York Times CBS News poll released today, and I recognize, I pointed out, that it doesn't have direct impact on primaries, but this is a nationwide poll, and it compares December with February. And among all primary voters, Clinton has declined from 44 to 38 since December. And Obama has doubled from 27 to 54. And in the crucial category of women, Clinton is stagnant, 46% in both polls, and Obama jumped from 27 to 45%. That, of course, is the real core base that Hillary Clinton claims. What do you make of those numbers?
Well, a lot of these polls are often premature, but the closer you get to D-Day, in this case now we're past several, of course, most primaries, the more they make sense. So in a primary context, what we are seeing in that poll, of course, reflects what we've seen in the last 11 states that Obama has won in a row, and he has built up a lead in voters making under 50,000 and some of the uneducated voting blocks where he was having trouble earlier, and thus is taking from her.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just in general, I think when you connect that with the primaries he won, he has won since Hillary's last victory, it really shows the momentum of that candidacy. You're also seeing it, of course, in the fundraising. And I'm one of those people who thinks that after Ohio and Texas, unless there's a big surprise, that the Clinton campaign should gracefully exit the stage.
Well, and let's be clear, no other candidate could even have made it through 11 straight losses. I mean, in either party, it is a test. I'm sorry?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's a testament to Hillary Clinton's staying power, and by that I mean both her personal resilience, which I respect. She's staying in this as long as she can. She's got a case to make. But also, of course, to her incredible name recognition and being a part of the Clinton legacy, that she's been able to withstand this. Any other candidate, no matter how beloved, even by the media, which, of course, has a disproportionate role in all this, I don't think would be able to go 11 straight losses. Now, her folks have, I think, also pulled out some pretty odd arguments for that, including saying, as Mark Penn, her senior strategist, did, that, you know, well, several of the states that Obama won, quote, don't matter. You know, all politics is local, and I don't think the nominee is going to get very far writing off hundreds of thousands of voters, especially Democrats, but any voters for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
So they have spun their way this far as well. But having said that, it is a testament to her strength, but I don't think she can go on forever taking this many losses, and she's just down it by too many delegates for there to be a real plausible way for her to come back at this point.
Mm-hmm. Ari Melber, you posted an item at thepolitico.com yesterday, and you described Virginia with reverse coattails. This is Mr. Warner, the former governor of Virginia, Mark Warner, who wants to replace John Warner in the Senate. We have to get our names all straight. But in about 30 seconds, give us a quick précis on this.
Yeah, Mark Warner is a fascinating candidate. Some people may remember he was flirting with a presidential run. He's running for an open Senate seat there that could basically make both Virginia senators Democrats if he wins. He's doing very well in the polls, and he left as a popular governor over 80%. He's exactly the kind of person you want to be running with. And a lot of the early turnout from both the Democratic and Republican primaries suggests that Virginia voters are very open to Barack Obama, who did well there, even among conservatives and some Republicans who voted in the Democratic primary for him. And combined with Warner, who is also one of these unifying post-partisan figures.
Let me stop you there. All right, we're out of time, but they can read all about it at Politico.com. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540. Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas,
spend more
Santa
per capita
Cruz
on health care.
Think for yourself.
United States than any other country on earth. Right now, we spend some $2 trillion a year. The government economists say that within 10 years or less, this will double to $4 trillion. How can that be? Well, it's like this.
Our expectation for growth in national health spending is one of generally steady growth at 6.7% per year.
Andrea Sisco is an economist with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. We're living longer now, partly because of improved health care, and we're just beginning to see a long-expected demographic phenomenon.
The leading edge of the baby boom generation will be enrolling in Medicare, so there will be a slight acceleration in growth.
In the neighborhood of 7%.
For something growing at about 7% per year, it will double over 10 years.
As simple as that. But what are we going to do about it? Some more projections after this.
This is a rate alert for February 2008. Today brings good news to anyone who needs a mortgage larger than $417,000. In recent months, these jumbo mortgages have been nearly impossible to get. And if you were lucky enough to get one, you usually paid a high interest rate. Now, national mortgage leader Quicken Loans has announced an all-new jumbo mortgage program on loans up to $2 million with affordable rates that could save you thousands a year. Plus, you could finance up to 90% of your home's value with an affordable fixed-rate loan. Call 800-970-4011. With Quicken Loans' new jumbo loan program, you get an affordable fixed-rate mortgage up to $2 million and up to 90% financing with no teaser rates, no prepayment penalties, and no surprises. Don't wait. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-970-4011. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. Call 800-970-4011.
The government is going to be picking up an ever larger share of the health care tab than it does now.
We will be seeing a change in the distribution from private insurance towards Medicare as more of the baby boomers reach Medicare age. And then as they themselves become older within Medicare, we'll see some of the costs go up there, too.
Sherry Gleed is chair of the Columbia University Department of Health Policy and Management. Healthcare costs are growing faster than inflation, but what else is new?
Keep in perspective the fact that healthcare costs have been growing faster than inflation since about 1940.
We tend to spend more on anything if somebody else is paying for it, but that's not how the health policy wonks think of it.
I suspect that if the government paid for an even bigger share than they do now, they might really be pushing hard on those prices, trying to bargain costs down and maybe bring the cost down a little bit.
We get what we pay for, or what somebody pays for anyway.
We've gotten a lot of value from our healthcare system, but that doesn't mean that we couldn't get even more for the money we're spending right now.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
You're listening to the greatest talk radio station on the planet. West of the Mississippi. Along the Pacific coast. In California. Below Davenport. Above Lucia. And west of the Gavilan Mountains. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Mel Goodman joins us here in just a moment.
I feel like this inside, there's one thing I wanna know.
Saul Goodman returns to our program today. More than 40 years of service to the U.S. government at the State Department, the CIA, and Department of Defense. Now a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy, and he's also an adjunct professor of government at Johns Hopkins University. Mel Goodman has a brand new book published this week called Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA. Mel, haven't talked to you in ages. Welcome back.
It has been a long time, hasn't it, Peter B? How are you?
I'm doing fine. I want to take, you know, I haven't seen your book. Your PR people are sending one, and I'm looking forward to reading it, and I'll certainly invite you back on the program after I've had a chance to peruse it. But with your ideas about the decline and fall, and I imply that you have ideas for reforming our intelligence communities, I'd like to see if you can indulge me here, and I'll throw you a curveball. We've got a presidential debate between Obama and Clinton coming up about an hour and a half from now. If I were able to get you in there so that you could ask each candidate one or two questions, what would you put to them about the status of our intelligence efforts and the critical things that you believe need to be addressed?
That's a very good question, and I wish someone would ask that at one of these debates, but intelligence and international relations and foreign policy have been missing from the debates. In the intelligence area, I would start out in terms of giving some context that the intelligence community failed us miserably in the run-up to the Iraq War. They politicized the intelligence. They falsified the intelligence. I think Bush would have gone to war anyway, but we know that the intelligence record was unconscionable. I would like to get them to respond to what do they feel needs to be done in terms of reforming intelligence. What is their concern regarding the fact that three-star and four-star retired and active duty generals are running the CIA, running the National Intelligence Office, running the National Counterterrorism Center, occupying the post of Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, which is exactly what Harry Truman warned about 60 years ago when he created the CIA and began the creation of the intelligence community. And then finally, I would say one of the real problems is clearly the lack of any oversight. And in a democratic government such as ours, if you have an open society and within that open society a secret organization that is not being monitored, that is not getting the proper oversight, what guarantees can you provide to the American people against abuses that we have seen, such as destruction of tapes, secret prisons, torture and abuse, extraordinary renditions? And I would like to get some sense of how deep their understanding of this is, including, well, particularly Hillary Clinton, because she voted for the war resolution in October 2002 and didn't even bother to read the National Intelligence Estimate that was so flawed and that arrived at the Congress 1 week before the vote. And I think it would be a good measure of how experienced is Senator Obama. What does he know about intelligence, and what can he do in terms of reforming intelligence?
And, Mel Goodman, as I recall, you were quite a vocal opponent of the creation of this intelligence czar, the National Intelligence Directorate. Do you believe that some of your criticisms have been addressed, or do we still have a mess on our hands where the DIA can't talk to the CIA and the FBI doesn't have the right computers to even get emails from the CIA or the DIA? And then we got the the alphabet soup.
You're right. I was opposed to it. And frankly, I have to say it's come out worse than even I expected, because now you have a retired three-star admiral who's running the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. He happens to be a former student of mine in the National War College. He's a very good and modest man, but his modesty is also in terms of his intelligence credentials. And it's clear that he hasn't gotten a firm grip on the intelligence community. There's been no reform within the community. The last estimate they prepared on Iran, I think, was a very sloppy product that clearly seemed to suggest there was real policy advocacy within the National Intelligence Estimate. And we have learned more recently how much time he spends just preparing for his daily briefing of the president. That is a total waste of time of a chief executive officer such as the admiral running the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, trying to get up to speed every day to brief the president on intelligence. And, of course, one of the practical aspects of the Peter Principle is people will turn the job into that part that they know the best. And the admiral knows computer security and cybersecurity, but that's really the job of the NSA, and he's wasting a lot of time trying to get up to speed in this area. So
yeah.
I think it's very unfortunate what has happened. And now there's a real accountability nightmare because this is an operation that costs over $1 billion with more than 1,000 people, most of whom they've taken from other intelligence organizations like the CIA and the State Department's Intelligence and Research Organization and the Defense Intelligence Agency, thereby further weakening the community. So it's been a bureaucratic nightmare and creating another layer of review and another sclerotic aspect of this. Much too large intelligence community that spends over $50 billion a year.
And so would you recommend scrapping the reforms that led to the creation of this monster?
I certainly would.
Okay.
Other reforms are needed. And the reforms that have not been talked about are demilitarizing the intelligence community, separating the operational side of the house from the intelligence side of the house at the CIA, so you don't get operational intelligence that biases the product of the intelligence community, and rebuilding oversight, which, to give credit to the 9/11 Commission, which did not do a sterling job at all, and we've learned a lot about that. I guess I shouldn't be promoting someone else's book, but I'm now reading Philip Shannon's book on the commission, the unofficial history of the 9/11 Commission, and he really exposes all of the flaws of the commission and what they failed to do, particularly with regard to reform of the CIA and the intelligence community.
Well, indeed. I have been a sharp critic of the 9/11 Commission, and I don't know if you've read David Ray Griffin's book about debunking 9/11 debunking, but I would add that to your reading list, Mel. This is a guy who's a retired theologian. I don't think he ever expected to write three books on 9/11, but it is remarkable when you look at the work of that commission, the extent to which that Zelikow. Thank you. Zelikow was dispatched from the White House and stayed in touch. There are now proven situations, proven moments where he was calling Karl Rove.
Well,
and
I wrote an op-ed about Zelikow when he was named the staff director because he was at Harvard's John F. Kennedy School in the early 1990s, took hundreds of thousands of dollars from the CIA's Office of the Study of Intelligence, and wrote case studies exonerating the CIA of any intelligence failure with regard to the Soviet Union, which happens to be a well-known fact. So Zelikow could never be trusted, and we now know from Shannon's book that most of the committee members were extremely unhappy over Zelikow's role, that Bob Kerry nearly resigned because of Zelikow, and that Max Cleland probably did resign because of Zelikow. So
yeah.
Zelikow clearly is the villain of this piece. I agree.
Yeah. And, Mel, I actually flew myself to Washington on my own dime and spent 2 days in the public hearings of the 9/11 Commission, and I came away deeply troubled because it was a game they were playing.
It wasn't serious to them.
No. They were up there.
Bad.
It was a parade of people who were permitted to offer very lame statements. I was in the room when Donald Rumsfeld testified in public under oath. And Benveniste, one of the commissioners, was pursuing a somewhat pointed line of questioning. And he asked him explicitly, Mr. Defense Secretary, on 9/11, at what point did you order jets scrambled to defend the Pentagon? And Rumsfeld sat there for a minute, and he kind of smiled, and he looked around, and he was clearly running out the clock. And then he repeated the question. He said, did I scramble jet? Did I order jets scrambled on 9/11? And then Chairman Kaine gaveled and said, oh, your time's up, next question, and moved on to former Governor Jim Thompson of Illinois, who had only softballs and cotton candy for...
Well, the sad thing about that story, because I think this is the greatest unknown in the whole business, you know, what was the Pentagon doing, and at what particular time were the jets, and where did they go when they were scrambled? We still do not have an authoritative chronology from either the FAA or the Pentagon or the Air Force about orders, what role Dick Cheney played, was the president involved, and I don't think he was. I think this was Dick Cheney's orchestration. And I happen to know from pilots I've talked to that when the pilots went up, they went up a little late, but the important thing is they were used to Soviet war games throughout the entire 1980s and early 1990s. They flew out to the Atlantic. They didn't fly toward Pennsylvania where there was still a jet in the air that because of the bravery of the hostages in that case forced that plane to crash The jets were nowhere to be found in terms of really challenging the activity that was going on.
Mm-hmm. I honestly have questions about the actual end there of Flight 93, Mel, because the debris field is not consistent with a plane that crashed during a struggle for control over it. The debris field is so large, and the lack of specific physical evidence on the ground, the coroner got there and said, there's nothing here for me to do. And unfortunately, I have concerns about that story, and I think it might have been shot down, and they just haven't been willing to tell us that.
Well, I have to say I don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are people around who feel it didn't go into the Pentagon, that the hole was too small to accommodate that particular jet. And I frankly feel that there's a lot of conspiratorial material out there. The only unresolved issue for my money is the one of the chronology from the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if this administration were serious about an investigation, which they never have been, Bush fought an investigation. Then he named, of course, remember, the first director named, the first chairman, was Henry Kissinger. Well,
right.
what a cover up something, and you want to spin something. You can't get anyone better than Henry Kissinger. And then you get a governor from New Jersey, Kane, who's a good and decent man who knew nothing about intelligence. And then you pair him with Lee Hamilton, who I think was extremely slothful in his approach to the study of 9/11. And it'll be like the Warren Commission. If you don't investigate these things thoroughly and if you don't have credibility, there will always be questions and concerns and will never resolve matters that I think could be resolved. So this was a very sad period.
Well, and on that note, Mel, and I'm not being contentious or trying to pursue an argument you don't want to get into, but I don't think they've ever established the facts about the assault on the Pentagon. And clearly something hit the Pentagon. I'm not in denial about that. But I don't think they've shared the truth, and they tried to release a series of freeze-frame photos that only muddied the waters further. And so, I leave it as an open question. I don't know what happened, but I don't buy the official story.
Well, that's the problem to me, and here I do agree with you. The sad reality is they did such a poor job that reasonable people and intelligent people and analytical people will continue to have questions. And that, I think, is the sad reality of this mess.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Mel Goodman. Check out his new book. It's called Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA, where he served our nation. We'll continue in a moment. If you have a question or comment, join me now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Hal on behalf of the Central Avenue Bakery. Tina and her staff want to thank all of you for becoming regulars at the Central Avenue Bakery at 173 Central Avenue in beautiful Pacific Grove. February is a special month at the Central Avenue Bakery as they celebrate Valentine's Day with an Italian buffet and a free glass of wine with every dinner. Space is limited, so make your reservations for Valentine's Day now. Then, at the end of February, Central Avenue Bakery celebrates its third anniversary with live music, free food, and prizes. Enjoy organic foods, pastries, and coffee. They also have a gluten-free menu and many organic gluten-free pastries. Stop by one of my favorite restaurants, the Central Avenue Bakery in Pacific Grove, today.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Mel Goodman. He's got a brand new book out called Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA. And Matt joins us from Sacramento. He's listening to KSAC 1240 Talk City. Hey, Matt.
Hi. My question is, this kind of did it for me. One of the Jersey girls was on TV, and she was explaining that they were talking to the top people at the FBI, one of their, like an undersecretary or something, and she asked him, well, why didn't you people check, you know, these flight schools? And he said, you didn't expect us to check all these thousands of flight schools all over the nation. And she said, no, but then how did you know the day after which three to go to? And he looked at her and said, we got lucky.
Well,
that says it all for me. If we didn't cause it, if we didn't do it, we allowed it.
Well, I don't think the got lucky remark is necessarily relevant, Matt, because...
Well, I'll tell you why it's
really,
relevant,
well, wait,
because
wait,
they
wait,
knew
wait.
Beforehand which ones to go to.
No, it's because there were reports that had been ignored in Washington from Minneapolis and from San Diego. And
my point
after,
is, he knew about those reports before he said, why didn't they do it? He said, there are so many... And then turned right around and said, we got lucky. He didn't say, we already
can
knew.
Can I explain this?
Yeah, please, go ahead, Mel.
There's a very good answer to this. There was an FBI agent in Phoenix, Arizona. His name was Frank Williams. And he became extremely suspicious of Arab males who were taking flight training in Arizona who had no competence whatsoever to be dealing with large commercial aircraft. He sent a telegram to headquarters at FBI, and he said, I think we should monitor these major flight schools, and there aren't thousands. There, as this caller said, there are only several, and they're in Florida, Arizona, and California. And the FBI said, we can't take people off the task that they're doing, which included, like, monitoring deadbeat dads who were behind in child support payments to monitor these schools. So there's a sad reality here, just as there was in Minneapolis, where you had Colleen Rowley, saying we should put a tap on the email of Massawi and monitor his phone calls, and the FBI headquarters turned her down, saying we can't do this by the FISA law, which was a complete misreading of the FISA law, and I think it's contributed to the ignorance of the FISA law, which even FBI lawyers hadn't read carefully and certainly didn't understand. So this is all part of the tragedy of 9/11. 9/11 did not have to happen. 9/11 could have been prevented. 3,000 people died who didn't have to die, and that is the sad reality of all of this.
Indeed. Mel Goodman, as we look at our intelligence community, there seems to be this great resistance to really understanding the past as a route to avoiding problems in the future. And again, without getting into all the details of 9/11 and our arguments with the official story, we got skunked on 9/11. And we have no indication that the processes and protocols at NORAD have been addressed. we have no indication that we really are in a mode to prevent future attacks, notwithstanding the arguments from the Bush administration that torturing certain suspects can deliver that information. And so I'm really concerned because I think we need a new church commission or something along those lines. The problem is that the pattern over the years has been that even when the CIA is evaluated and held accountable and, investigated, that we never get to the bottom of things and that we never truly reform that community to make it consistent with our constitutional values.
Well, The sad part of this is we have lost any sense of what accountability is about in our democracy. Now, if you look at the 9/11 Commission, they will tell you that the problem in the intelligence community was organizational. Amy Zegart, a professor at UCLA, has written a book, and she's really just parroted the 9/11 Commission, saying the problem was organizational. The Rob Silberman report said the problem was organizational. I was at the CIA for 24 years, and we were organized, reorganized all the time. It was a fact of life. The problems are not committed by the organization. They're committed by people. And the only group that really looked at accountability in terms of what people were responsible was the CIA Inspector General, who wrote a wonderful report that the Congress and the CIA have conspired not to allow people to read, and the CIA directors, actually two directors, Portergas and the current one, will not allow an accountability board to be established. The fact of the matter is people were responsible for what happened on 9/11. And until you find out, and I'm not interested in scapegoating these people, you have to find out what they did wrong,
yeah,
and why it happened. Then you can have real reform. We have had no reform, and we still have no oversight, because you have, frankly, a very lazy chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Jay Rockefeller, and probably a House Intelligence Chairman, who I don't think is up to the task.
Yeah.
And then the Bush administration won't allow any serious investigation, because you'll find out about the sloth within the Bush administration, particularly Condi Rice at the National Security Council, who I think is one of the major villains and who had been warned strongly by George Tenet and Kofor Black in July of 2001, less than 2 months before 9/11, that something big was going down.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing was done about any of this reporting at the level of the White House.
And Mel, this is a little extraneous, but I got to ask you. There's been a lot of back and forth over the last few months because Quest Communications revealed that they were first approached about warrantless wiretapping, I call it illegal eavesdropping, on Americans in March of 2001. And typically the mainstream media plays this as, in response to 9/11, the Bush administration launched a domestic surveillance program. Well, in fact, it was launched in the spring of 2001. Yet I haven't heard any intelligent investigations of that issue to really try to uncover what they were planning to do.
And also, Quest paid a terrible price for its unwillingness to cooperate with the government, unlike AT&T and Verizon and the various intelligence committees that played along. You know, there is a quote in terms of what the major media have avoided. After 9/11, David Addington, who was Dick Cheney's lawyer, said in a White House meeting that we are only one terrorist bomb away from doing away with the whole entire FISA Act and the FISA court system, and what you call illegal and what I would say is unconstitutional, to allow the White House free rein to monitor any conversation and any email in this country for any reason,
yeah,
whether it's with foreigners or between Americans. So there's a constitutional crisis in this country, but you would know about it or you won't hear about it from reading the American press on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, Mel, I really appreciate your voice. I'm looking forward to reading your book, and after I have, we'll have you back on the show and talk some more.
Thank you. I look forward to that, Peter.
My pleasure. Mel Goodman here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And by the way, for our 9/11 truth seekers, next week on the program, we don't have the schedule confirmed, but Richard Gage, who founded Architects for 9/11 Truth, will be with us on the program in advance of two appearances in Humboldt County coming up late next week. So stay tuned, and we'll keep you in touch with those issues right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, an airliner flew with biofuels. Could be a really good breakthrough. Dan Kamen from UC Berkeley will join us next.
We're talking with Veronique Rath.
Baskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A massive power outage in Florida.
Lights flickered, the TVs went out.
The showdown is tonight.
Meet me in Ohio. Let's have a debate about your tactics and your behavior in this campaign.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Traffic lights went out, elevators stopped, air conditioners died in 80-degree heat. It was an inconvenient afternoon across much of the Florida Peninsula because of a chain reaction power outage. CBS News correspondent Peter King joins us live from Orlando.
A substation fire and equipment failure in Miami. One power plant shut down, seven others followed.
We really just felt a flicker. The TV go off, the lights go off around 1 o'clock.
CBS News correspondent Kelly Cobiea in Miami. Most of the power is back on, but as many as 4 million people around the state lost it for a while. Florida Power and Light spokeswoman Aletha Player says the system did what it was supposed to.
Our system is designed to protect the system. Anytime these kinds of events occur, the system will trip.
State Emergency Management spokesman Mike Stone says that's what helped get most of the power back so fast.
The fact that individual pieces can be systematically taken offline and protectively taken offline allows them to come back online much faster.
Live in Orlando, Peter King, CBS News.
Now this.
All right, everyone who enjoys the buying a used car experience, raise your hand. Thought so. Uncertainty does come to mind. But not if it's a Honda-certified used car. They're well-maintained, late-model Hondas. They're given a thorough 150-point inspection, and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus, now you can get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000-certified used Honda models. So relax, because while it may be used, it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
I don't call it heartburn. I call it, here it comes again. Eating on the run, food, stress, it's like an obstacle course. I try to get it under control, but I think it's controlling me.
Heartburn isn't funny. That's why Zantac is serious. Just one pill relieves your toughest heartburn all day or all night. So the suffering stops and life starts. Heartburn? Attack it. Zantac. Use as directed.
Over the weekend, it was an angry Hillary Clinton who challenged Barack Obama to a debate about campaign tactics. They meet tonight in Cleveland at Cleveland State University. It's their last showdown before next week's crucial primaries. Obama's not expecting a brawl.
I'm sure it'll be conducted in a civil fashion.
CBS News senior political correspondent Jeff Greenfield agrees. He says Clinton can't risk being harsh.
She is not going to be able to go after Obama the way John McCain and the Republicans will. We saw that in the last debate when she was asked flatly, do you think Barack Obama's ready to be commander-in-chief? John McCain's going to have no hesitancy about saying, you know what, he's an honorable guy, but I don't think so. But Hillary Clinton has to keep in mind that she may be talking about her party's nominee.
Senator Chris Dodd has already reached that conclusion.
This is the moment for Democrats and independents and others to come together, to get behind this candidacy.
By endorsing Obama, he becomes the first of the former rivals for the Democratic nomination to take sides. General George Casey, the Army Chief of Staff, told the Senate Armed Services Committee today that he plans to reduce combat tours from 15 months to 12 when the surge ends this summer. But he said the Army is out of balance after six-plus years of war.
I think we all acknowledge that we are not where we need to be.
For months, Senate Republicans have blocked debate on a Democratic bill to cut off combat funding after 120 days. But believing Iraq has turned into a success story, Minority Leader Mitch McConnell embraced the debate.
Coalition forces are winning this fight, and they deserve our full support
and our thanks.
Democratic Majority Leader Harry Reid still wants to pull the plug.
We need to end the worst foreign policy blunder in our nation's history.
If the measure does pass, it would be vetoed by President Bush. The subprime mortgage meltdown and the subsequent credit crunch are eroding home values as much as a crumbling foundation or a leaky roof. According to the Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller Index, home prices fell nearly 9% in the final quarter of last year. Economist Robert Shiller says it's the steepest decline in the index's 20-year history.
I think for the country as a whole, if home prices were to gradually decline over the years, it would be a good thing, not a bad thing. But the sudden and sharp decline that we're seeing these days is troubling.
Home equity is evaporating, and heavily financed homes might be worth less than what's owed on the mortgage. Walter Maloney at the National Association of Realtors sees better times by fall.
We, in our forecasts, are looking for the first and second quarter to be broadly flat, and then to see a notable improvement in the second half of the year.
The market has to work through an inventory of unsold homes. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Looking to diversify your portfolio? It's time to start trading foreign currencies at Forex.com. In these financial times, diversification is key. At Forex.com, we give you the tools you need to expand your investment portfolio beyond stocks and into the OTC foreign exchange market. Start trading foreign currencies 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. Go to Forex.com, open a free practice account today, and test your trading strategies risk-free. When you're ready, just click and trade. Forex.com.
Forex is an over-the-counter market and involves significant risk of loss.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Just about an hour from now, we'll bring you the first hour of the presidential debate from Cleveland, Senators Obama and Clinton, face-to-face. And before then, Jason Leopold will check in, the independent investigative reporter, talking about those pesky White House emails and an unusual discovery that the White House changed email systems or software at a critical point where some of those emails we'd like to see are now reported missing. Also later this hour, Melanie Sloan doing her best to clean up Washington, D.C. They're a crew, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. She's got an update on Congressman Rick Renzi, indicted on multiple counts, extortion and all other kinds of activities in Arizona. And he is the state co-chair for John McCain, who's got his own problems with reports of coziness with lobbyists. And we'll also talk about an interesting report coming out from Crew about what we call the Senate Family Plan. Some 75 members of the U.S. Senate have friends or family on the payroll, either their campaign payroll or the office payroll. And that is a surprising number. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. This half hour, we're going to talk about a breakthrough in fueling jetliners that could reduce our reliance on fossil fuels and reduce the CO2 emissions.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It's in the jet airliner.
But can you fly a big old jet airliner using biofuels? Apparently the answer is yes. And you can blame Sir Richard Branson. Joining us to talk about it is Professor Dan Kamen. He's a professor of public policy at the University of California at Berkeley, professor of energy and society, and also director of their Renewable and Appropriate Energy Laboratory. Dan Kamen, welcome back to our program today. Let's see. Dan, can you hear me? I think we have Dan there. Let me just double check. Dan Kamen, testing 1, 2, 3. Okay, Brian, you want to try to reconnect? Because I think we lost the professor there. At any rate, Dan Kamen is an interesting man who is really at the center of a lot of these developments. And he has the added benefit, I guess, of being a consultant of some sort to Richard Branson. And Branson has engaged Dan Kamen and I think some others to help completely green an island that he owns in the British Virgin Islands, a place that I've actually been on a sailboat, and I would love to go there and inspect their progress. Anyway, it's a very interesting confluence there, and Dan Kamen is well positioned to tell us about it. We've got him back on the line now. Sorry we lost you there, Dan.
Oh, no problem.
Just the technology thing. I wanted to get your thoughts because I'm really impressed that Virgin Atlantic was... Oh, boy. Uh-huh. Is that an airplane taking off behind you or what?
It just sounds like one. It wasn't much. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Okay. Well, he's live out there wherever Dan happens to be. Anyway, Virgin Atlantic successfully test flew a plane from Heathrow to Amsterdam using biofuels. And I understand it's an 80% mix of traditional jet fuel with 20% biofuel. What do you know about this test flight, and how did it work out?
Well, the flight went fine. There were no technical problems. It was a short flight. And one of the issues is in a short flight is that they didn't actually get up all that high. And the one performance concern that's really a nagging thing for biofuels, forget about where you get it from, is that biofuels don't have the nice property that so-called Jet A, the regular jet fuel, has, that it remains in usable form even when it gets very cold. Concern about biofuels is that they can actually solidify, not fully freeze, but start to solidify, which makes it hard to get a good flow to the engine.
Right.
And that didn't happen in this case because they stayed relatively low. Amsterdam and London are pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
It is expected that that problem is soluble, but that was the concern, and that's why they picked this particular route and flight as the you know, maiden voyage, so to speak.
Right.
So it worked technically. The broader question is, where do you get to source your fuels from, and what are the real advantages of going for a biofuel route? And those questions are actually pretty thorny.
Because?
Well, there's a couple things. One is that it was a big mystery for this Virgin flight where their biofuel came from until very close to the end. It turned out it came from a range of palm and grasses from Brazil. And it's not totally clear that harvesting those is really a good greenhouse gas equation. And the reason is that that land could have relatively recently been rainforest. And cutting down rainforest to access biofuels is obviously a very bad thing. And so the pedigree of the fuel matters a great deal. And how much of this fuel you can get from Brazil or from U.S. farmland is a real question. So there are some lurking issues.
And, Dan, just in the broader sense, in terms of renewable energy sources, I've been led to understand, and I don't have any science background, that corn-based ethanol is not a good solution because of the amount of energy required to convert the corn into ethanol, and also because of its demand on land resources. And I understand that sugar, for example, is a much more efficient source of biofuels. Because we have price controls on it and a kind of preferential treatment of sugar produced in this country, that it's kind of off the table as a source for biofuels. Is that generally correct?
All of that's right on. I don't think there's any lingering debate that corn, as we grow it in this country, is not a good biofuel. That's definitely the case. And the question is, are we going to be able to find sustainable biofuels, almost certainly nut corn, so that we can actually build out this supply in a way that doesn't cause what's called indirect land use effects? So we grow a really nice crop here in the U.S., for example, and we take land out of food production, and what happens in the end is that land elsewhere in the Brazilian rainforest in Indonesia goes into food production.
And so that is an unhappy trade-off.
It really is.
Oh, he's breaking up. You can tell Dan's getting into a car there. So we'll let him get underway and probably get out of the parking garage where he may be and dial him back here in just a minute or two. If you have a question or comment about global warming, about biofuels and converting from fossil fuels to mixtures of biofuels and the old stuff, feel free to bring on your questions. You may even have more knowledge of this than I do and ask a more informed question. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. So let's take our break right now, and we'll be a little bit early for some of our stations, but hang in there. And we'll get Dan Kamen back on the line and have a nice long segment with him right after the break. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com. There's a link on the homepage where you can catch our podcasts and share them with friends or listen to segments that you might have missed or you want to hear again. That's www.peterbcollins.com. I made an executive decision here not to go to the break because I'm afraid it would throw our stations off and cause automation calamities. And fortunately, Dan Kamen is back with us. Did you clear that parking garage, Dan?
I did, and I won't move again, I promise.
It's okay. And since we know you got into your car, we just have to ask, what do you drive?
I drive a hybrid. I wish my hybrid had a sustainable biofuel as the backup in the tank, and I also wish my hybrid had become a plug-in hybrid, but those haven't quite come to pass yet.
Yeah, yeah. It is exciting, though. There's some neat developments in plug-in hybrids. So returning to this test flight, one of the other issues was that the scientists monitoring this were going to measure the emissions, the effluents, from this 747 on a test flight using biofuel blend from Heathrow to Amsterdam Schiphol Airport. So have they completed those studies? Do you know, Dan?
They're still going on, and the reason is that you need to do a number of measurements. You want to get right behind the engine, and you want to get some of the so-called residuals, what's in the air behind it. And so that full analysis is not done yet. The on-the-ground, kind of the test trials, looked pretty good, but we don't have that full story yet, and partially because burning these fuels at atmosphere at sea level is very different than burning at altitude. And so this is a really early open question.
Yeah, yeah. And are you encouraged by this test? I mean, first of all, the 747 did not fall out of the sky. That's reassuring. Were there any concerns about, you know, the potential for a major equipment malfunction because of this fuel?
Not really. I mean, first of all, it was only a 20% biofuel blend. So, you know, it's not like this was a plane really running fully on biofuels. This was the first trial at it. And there was very little reason to expect there would be any technical problem. I think the real issue for biofuels is this accounting issue, and that is, what is the overall impact on terms of greenhouse gas basis, but also in terms of land use, water, soil issues from going the biofuel route? Those are the thorny questions, and they're really accounting questions. They're not really performance questions.
Yeah. All right, Dan, it's time for our break, so hang in there, and we'll be right back at you. We got a caller who has a question from Sacramento. And if other listeners want to call in, you're welcome to dial us up right now and talk to Professor Dan Kamen from UC Berkeley. He's with us for one more segment. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More straight ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years.
and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Ponce, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
Final season games are this week with midweek games. Wednesday, San Francisco State comes to the Kelp Bed. UC San Diego joins us on Thursday. 7:30 game times. Playoffs are right around the corner.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and not a whole lot to talk about as we get things started today. Just one crash out there. This is northbound Highway 1 on the Buena Vista Drive off-ramp. Two separate crashes with a total of three cars. They're all off to the side. You may see a little bit of heavy traffic as you approach the scene. Southbound 101 before the Soledad State Prison. We had reports that a truck had lost a load of gravel in the lanes. One car had its windshield shattered. Everybody is pulled off to the right-hand shoulder. Just take it easy as you go through the area. May still be some loose gravel in those lanes. For Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at the Brancy 40 Avenue overcross. Some major road construction going on there. They're taking that down. Also, the Pasatiempo off-ramp has been shut down as well. That may cause delays as you go through the area. Ben Lomond, northbound 9 between Middle Road and Western Avenue. The left lane shut down for road work there. Possible delays. 17, Santa Cruz Mountains currently checks in stalling accident-free. And Highway 68, we have no stalls or accidents to tell you about. This traffic report is brought to you by Domino's 2 times Tuesday deal. You got two large pizzas on Tuesday. You got them both for the price of one. You got them hot and you got them to your door. Domino's, you got 30 minutes. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Professor Dan Kamen from the University of California at Berkeley. He's a professor of energy and society and also director of their Renewable and Appropriate Energy Laboratory. We're talking about this exciting test flight by Virgin Atlantic. They flew from London to Amsterdam in a jet that was fueled by a blend that included 20% biofuels. And this is an interesting breakthrough. And Sir Richard Branson said that this will help Virgin Atlantic fly its planes using clean fuel sooner than expected. And, Dan, I disclosed to our listeners that you've been consulting Sir Richard Branson regarding a project there on Necker Island in the British Virgin Islands. Have you had any communication with him or his people since this test?
I have, actually. I had dinner with him on Thursday night.
Oh, okay.
And we talked about the flight a fair amount. And what I'm interested in now is to find out what the company does next, because Sir Richard Branson has made a pretty big commitment to making his companies green. And obviously, when you own airlines, that's a pretty hard spot to go. And so he really wants to push on these fuels. The science of how green different biofuels are is being contested right now. So we don't know exactly which ones are going to work out. And Richard's a brave soul, and he's forging ahead. We're going to see how quickly the science of which of these fuels really is good for the planet, how quickly that catches up with what he's trying to do.
Yeah. He is a risk taker, and I admire that.
So do I, actually. And I think that we really need more of those, even if there's some missteps. You can really be held down by indecision on these things. It's not quite paralysis by overanalysis. It's paralysis by I'm waiting for the perfect solution. And he definitely doesn't wait for the perfect.
Yeah. And how much does he understand the science, Dan?
Well, he's a pretty sharp guy. And how much he gets into it himself, I'm really not so sure. We talk a fair amount. And he, like a lot of really good managers, keeps repeating the statement that he views his job as someone who has the resources and has the charisma to always bring in people on the various topics that are quote-unquote smarter than him, which, of course, they're often not. But what he really means is experts who are going to advise him in an honest way. And the thing I've been most impressed by, despite all kind of the hype about the Virgin Group, is that he does listen to changing economics or scientific statements. And so as we figure out more about biofuels, I think he's actually going to be a reasonable ear on this.
Very interesting. Let's go to the phones. Marjorie in Sacramento, listening on KSAC. What's your comment, Marjorie?
Well, I had a question and a comment. I just wanted to say it's really wonderful that people are out there trying out these things, because no one ever gets things right the first time. It's after several tries that you get it right. And I also had a question about hemp for fuel. And I had heard that it is less impact than corn and switchgrass, and that a lot of people in other countries are actually working on it as a fuel. And I just wondered if that was a truth or if you knew anything about that as fuel.
All right, Dan Kamen?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Hemp is attractive for a number of reasons. One, it produces a fairly large amount of biomass per unit area. And also, it doesn't require as high fossil fuel inputs, meaning it grows under a wider range of rainfall and other conditions. So it's kind of a tougher plant than is corn in that regard. And so it's got some positives there as well. The main reason why we're so fixated on corn and soy in this country isn't because they're ideal biofuels. We know they're very much poor biofuels. It's that we happen to grow a lot of them, and any way to support U.S. farmers is seen as a good thing, even like in this case, when the fuels you make from them are not good things.
Well, let me be more explicit. Archer Daniels Midland spreads a lot of campaign cash around Washington to both parties.
Sure does. And in fact, all of the presidential candidates who are remaining, you know, are grappling with that right now, figuring out how much you can break away from that view. And the one thing that's often been seen as don't touch this issue has been the subsidies for U.S. agriculture are very strongly embedded, and they affect lots of very powerful states, California included. And so this is a really touchy issue for any politician, no matter how progressive or regressive in some cases they are.
Marjorie, thank you for your call today. I appreciate that. And Dan, just in looking at the Democrats, they're going to debate Clinton and Obama in the next half hour or so. What are your thoughts about them in terms of energy independence and moving forward on global warming issues?
Well, I think that both Clinton and Obama are quite progressive in this area. Their policies are quite reasonable. I happen to have some personal choices, but I do think they're both pretty good. They both have sort of similar targets for how much green power we should have. It's roughly 25% by 2025. It's a reasonable one to remember, and it's a good first goal. I'm quite concerned that we invest so little in clean energy work in this country that we have to really ramp up that portfolio. And the Obama platform on going green is a much larger federal investment. It's on the order of $150 billion over a decade, compared to about $50 billion for Clinton. And so while I think they're both very good, I do think we need to lock in bigger investments over longer time in this area.
Very good. Dan Kamen, thanks for talking with us today. We'll do it again.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Dan Kamen, UC Berkeley. I'm Peter B. Collins. Jason Leopold joins me next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Here it is, another debate. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. What'll happen? Will the punch-drunk Hillary stagger back into the ring for one last blow from the walk-on challenger she never saw coming? Or is the confident but inexperienced newcomer about to get a wake-up call from a cornered champion with nothing left to lose? The latest CBS News New York Times poll shows just how the tables have turned on Hillary Clinton in just 2 months. Gone are the days when her husband was a plus and her toughest challenge was to pick a campaign song. Celine Dion's You and I. Remember that? We still haven't heard Celine sing. Just the fat lady. Hillary is still viewed by more Democrats as being prepared for president, but according to the polls, this is not about being prepared. Look at this. Asked whether they want their next president to compromise or just stick to party positions, 77% of Democratic voters want the next Democratic president to compromise. They want the country united. And yet only 53% of Democrats see Hillary Clinton as being able to bring that kind of unity. 77% think Barack Obama can do it. But it doesn't stop there. Among Republicans, 72% of Republicans want their candidate to compromise too. What voters want is someone different from George Bush, someone who doesn't see things as black and white. And try as she might, Hillary Clinton comes across as too black and white, giving an advantage to Barack Obama, who strangely enough unifies the country by being exactly half black and half white. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Hal on behalf of the Central Avenue Bakery. Tina and her staff want to thank all of you for becoming regulars at the Central Avenue Bakery at 173 Central Avenue in beautiful Pacific Grove. February is a special month at the Central Avenue Bakery as they celebrate Valentine's Day with an Italian buffet and a free glass of wine with every dinner. Space is limited, so make your reservations for Valentine's Day now. Then, at the end of February, Central Avenue Bakery celebrates its third anniversary with live music, free food, and prizes. Enjoy organic foods, pastries, and coffee. They also have a gluten-free menu and many organic gluten-free pastries. Stop by one of my favorite restaurants, the Central Avenue Bakery in Pacific Grove, today.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're from All Class Transportation, where we take you to your special event in style, comfort, and safety. All Class Transportation is a truly professional local luxury transportation company with over 25 years of combined managerial service, an efficient, proactive staff, trained, certified chauffeurs, and a fleet of well-maintained luxury vehicles. We are well-suited to meet and exceed your specific needs.
All Class Transportation specializes in personalized luxury transportation, including company parties, corporate events, weddings, quinceañeras, whatever your needs. Call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338. Want to know about our rates? At All Class Transportation, our service and rates are second to none, period. We are All Class Transportation, TCP 22978A. Call us at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Coming up about 30 minutes from now, we'll bring you the audio of the latest, and it could be the final debate between Clinton and Obama.
And it's no big surprise. Don't you think I know exactly where
half hour, we'll talk with Melanie Sloan from CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Another sordid member of Congress has been indicted. That's Rick Renzi from Arizona. She'll give us the lowdown on that and some other breaking stories out of Washington, including those pesky White House emails. Jason Leopold's with us now, an independent investigative reporter. And, of course, he's the author of the memoir called News Junkie. And Jason published a piece at Op-Ed News just a couple of days ago regarding emails and the White House situation there. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Hey, Peter, how are you? Good to be with you.
Good to have you along. And I wanted to just first up get your thoughts about the debate that is shaping up in about a half an hour.
Yeah.
Any ruminations you want to offer?
Well, I really do think that first of all, let me just say that I think the unfortunate thing here is that the Clinton camp has resorted to these old style politics that have been referred to, it's really unfortunate that that's taking place. And I think that if there's any chance of Clinton remaining in this campaign, they're just going to have to clean house and get some new advisors in there. Because every single thing that they're attempting to do to attack Barack Obama with is just backfiring, and rightfully so. So I think that, if that's what they're going to continue using, charges of plagiarism and, photographs that show him in some sort of Muslim garb, well, it's just going to show that how people are obviously reacting to it quite negatively. And it's just very unfortunate because they should know. If anyone should know better, it's the Clinton.
Well, and in the same breath that they say, we're here to debate the issues, they say, and by the way,
right, exactly.
But it does appear to be more and more desperation. The Clinton campaign has to have access to polls more sophisticated than the ones made available to us. But this New York Times CBS poll is. Is pretty clear that Barack Obama has surged into the lead. The primary voters nationwide favor him 54% to her 38%, and he has doubled since December, where she has declined from 44 to that 38% figure.
And yeah, he's just that. He's an incredible speaker. He really motivates people to actually get up, get out, and cast their vote and vote for him. Mm-hmm. Is what they're doing. So any sort of criticism she has for Barack Obama and his aspirations or policies on changing the situation that we find ourselves in now is also criticism of the people who voted for him.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jason, I want to turn to the issue at hand here, and I have not been able to flip on C-SPAN today.
Sure.
I understand Henry Waxman's Oversight and Government Reform Committee was taking a look at the issues of the missing White House emails.
In fact, they were, and it was quite a hearing. I have to say that I'm real glad I got that story out because they certainly, went a bit into a bit more detail regarding the email area that I'm interested in, which is emails that were missing during the Valerie Plame CIA leak. And there was some files that were turned over to the committee, to Waxman's committee, that basically showed that for an entire week, if you recall, that we spoke about the order that Alberto Gonzalez had received from the Justice Department, forcing him to alert the White House to preserve all email communication.
Yes, you have 12 hours before I give you the
exactly.
order to preserve the emails.
Yeah, well, the day that he gave the word to do that, for an entire week, there are no emails from the Office of the Vice President, not one single email. And those are real crucial days because...
Well, maybe Dick was out pheasant hunting.
Yeah, with the entire White House email backup server system. Those are crucial days for a number of reasons. One, that's when Publicly, Scott McClellan had cleared Scooter Libby, the former chief of staff, Karl Rove, from being involved in any of this. The fact that there's not one single email, that actually they could find is troubling. And so Waxman said that he's been trying, as I indicated, been trying to get copies of this, trying to get more information from Attorney General Mukasey, and has just been stonewalled. Unclear exactly, you know, what he's going to do at this point, but from what we found out today from today's hearing, the email system is not only out of date, it's not only the archiving process is, you know, what they're claiming is the reason that these were lost. It actually it's the opposite in terms of why we can't find the emails. It's beginning to look like they put things into place, the White House, that would ensure that these emails were lost.
Mm-hmm.
He also said that, you know, once again, the Republican National Committee has emails that they won't turn over, and that the White House has not made any attempt to get those emails as part of the Presidential Records Act.
Now, Jason, one of the things that fascinates me that you've reported is that Karl Rove has managed to lose a couple of BlackBerries and a laptop, and I don't know if it was his, but there was a laptop left in Lafayette Park near the White House a few years ago with the political strategy for the Kerry campaign. I'm just wondering, you know, I have misplaced things. I lost my glasses a few months ago, but, you know, he just seems to have a pattern of behavior here that is a little bit out of the mainstream. Not too many people lose a $500 BlackBerry or misplace a laptop computer. And it made me think of the way the Clintons, couldn't find that Whitewater material. And then one day it was sitting on a table in the residence.
Exactly. It's, it is sort of funny. I mean, that seems to be what the, what the answer would be when they could not find, or when they needed to go back and find certain documents. Karl Rove's former executive assistant, Susan Ralston, said he lost about 4 BlackBerries. Now, there's a number of different things there. One, you know, if that's true, it's troubling in and of itself simply because of what's on that, what's on the BlackBerry that, could possibly fall into the wrong hands.
Well, and
we're
always
hearing about national security, the threats that we're under.
And Rove had, or still has, a top-secret clearance.
Yeah.
And so there could have been some very sensitive material on those missing BlackBerries.
Right. So, there certainly seems to be interest in, getting to the bottom of it. But what I do want to tell you, though, in regards to, again, these emails, is that I'm still going through some of the filings that were released as part of this hearing today. And if you recall, Duke Cunningham was connected to Mitch Wade. Mitch Wade was part of MZM.
Right, Mitchell Wade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, his company was also involved in setting up White House emails. It was revealed today. He was among a handful of contractors who was identified today in writing before the committee that he was hired to deal with the White House emails. And it's just unbelievable, that's something that certainly raised the eyebrows of Henry Waxman.
Mm-hmm.
What the involvement was there, what did they do?
Now, Jason, did Waxman make any reference to the book that you wrote about in your piece February 24th at opednews.com about author David Gewirtz, a former computer science professor, worked at Apple Computer,
right?
And he's got this new book out you referenced called Where Have All the Emails Gone?
Yeah, I did not hear anything about that, but David has been walking members of Congress and the Senate through what really is a very complicated technical issue. I mean, you know, he has taken Dana Perino's comments during her press conference and really broke down what she said and why it just didn't fly in terms of, you know, erasing backup tapes and, you know, trying to explain how even when they say something is lost, quote unquote, it's not truly lost. And here's why. And it really, you know, I mean, I had to go back in this. The book has truly been like sort of a guidebook and a roadmap in a sense in really uncovering the seriousness of the issue of the emails. But it really is a big deal. And I'm certainly going to stay all over this because this is not just a situation where, you know, whoops, this is a new technology and we just fouled up. There really does seem to be, an intent here to destroy these, you know, backup tapes for the purpose of not allowing the public or the, you know, the archivist to have any of these presidential records. And that's really what I took out of this hearing today was that, you know, when Bush leaves office, it seems like he does not want, they did not want anyone to have access to presidential records. So they destroyed them.
Now, Jason, in the Waxman hearing today, was there any reference to the central point that Gewirtz makes in his book, or at least a critical point, which is that the White House switched software and maybe even hardware. They switched their email system from Lotus Notes to Microsoft Exchange right about the time that it suspected some of these missing emails would have been sent.
Yes, they did. They did reference that. And in fact, what they said was is that they actually have found additional emails since they last spoke with Waxman's committee as a result of the change. Because of the switch, if you will, they were unable to find emails. They said that was a part of the problem. Well, they went back, they started to look for, you know, additional emails, and they found it in the old Lotus Notes servers, and I'm probably not, you know, describing that correctly, but they did say that, okay, instead of 473 days of missing email, it's actually down to 202 because we went back, and that's exactly what they said, by the way. We went back and we found, you know, some of these emails in the old system, which then they said, which leads us to believe that we will be able to eventually recover it, but recovering it after January 2008 was what they said.
All right, Jason, thank you for the update, and read Jason's piece at opednews.com. And one more thing, Jason, go to Brad Blog because Alan Breslauer has a video up there.
I saw that.
He got an encounter with Karl Rove and had Rove hold up a banner for a minute that said, "Free Don Siegelman."
It's genius.
It was. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, Peter. Take care.
Melanie Sloan joins us next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and not a whole lot to talk about as we get things started today. Just one crash out there. This is northbound Highway 1 on the Buena Vista Drive off-ramp. Two separate crashes with a total of three cars. They're all off to the side. You may see a little bit of heavy traffic as you approach the scene. Southbound 101 before the Soledad State Prison. We had reports that a truck had lost a load of gravel in the lanes. One car had its windshield shattered. Everybody is pulled off to the right-hand shoulder. Just take it easy as you go through the area. May still be some loose gravel in those lanes. For Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at the Brancy 40 Avenue overcrossing. some major road construction going on there. They're taking that down. Also, the Pasatiempo off-ramp has been shut down as well. That may cause delays as you go through the area. Ben Lomond, northbound 9 between Middle Road and Western Avenue. The left lane shut down for road work there. Possible delays. 17, Santa Cruz Mountains currently checks in stalling accident-free. And Highway 68, we have no stalls or accidents to tell you about. This traffic report is brought to you by Domino's 2 times Tuesday deal. You got two large pizzas on Tuesday. You got them both for the price of one. You got them hot and you got them to your door. Domino's, you got 30 minutes. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up about 15 minutes, we bring you the audio from Cleveland, what could be the final debate between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And I'm grateful to Melanie Sloan for scheduling flexibility so we can talk to her now and bring you the debate in just a few minutes. Melanie, of course, Executive Director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
You've been busy.
Very busy.
Let's start with Rick Renzi. We heard about an indictment coming out of Arizona late last week, and he has been on CREW's radar for a long time. And this is another case where the House Ethics Committee just never got around to it. But the legal system in Arizona, after a new U.S. attorney was installed, finally did.
That's right. Finally, we see Rick Renzi indicted. This is someone who has made CREW's most corrupt list for the past 3 years. And what he's indicted for is it's a very extensive indictment about corruption. Basically, Mr. Renzi used his seat on the House Resources Committee to force people to buy land from his friend James Sandlin. And that's all come out in the wash, and I can't see how he's ever going to he's saying now he's innocent of these charges, which is, of course, what they always all say right until the day they plead guilty. And he's going to keep his seat while he defends himself. The other thing he was doing, and this is the part we were not aware of, is Mr. Renzi had an insurance business, and he was apparently taking the money out of the premiums that people were giving him, and he was using it to fund his own campaigns. So people were, in fact, uninsured, although they thought they had insurance.
Wow. That's a bit of an ethical breach right there.
Insurance fraud is what they call that, and that, too, is they seem to have a lot of evidence reading the indictment for that, and it's, I think, a 35-count indictment, and it looks very, very bad for Mr. Renzi.
And why is it that the House Ethics Committee never got around to this?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay, we can move on.
He doesn't ever get around to anything, I think, is really what we know about that.
Yeah, and even John Boehner, the House Republican leader, minority leader, said he wants to get Renzi to step down. Does Renzi have to under indictment, or can he fight it from keep his perch?
Well, as we know from Dollar Bill Jefferson, you can keep your perch and defend, and probably much nicer to be defending your case as a sitting congressman than just as a regular guy.
Yeah.
That said, Renzi had said previously that he was retiring. So this is the end of his term, and he won't come to trial before the end of 2008. It's possible, but it's not that likely. And so given that, he'll probably be out. But Boehner wants him out because he knows that every time another Republican member finds himself indicted, it's that much harder for them to take back the majority. And I think he's looking forward to some other possible indictments later this year. Don Young, for example, from Alaska, could well find himself indicted. And this just makes John Boehner's job that much harder.
Yeah. And Renzi was co-chair in Arizona for the McCain campaign. It came at a bad time for McCain after the New York Times story about his relationships with lobbyists and favors that appear to have been delivered by McCain. You sense that this has any impact on the McCain campaign?
Probably not. There's sort of never a good time to find that one of your campaign co-chairs anywhere has been indicted for anything. Always haunts somebody. But it's interesting, you haven't heard any of the Democrats making any hay of this. I think McCain has plenty of problems, and these are sort of the least of them at this point.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about Brent Wilkes. He, of course, was the guy who bribed Duke Cunningham, and he finally found justice.
He did. He got 12 years in jail for a multitude of corruption charges, mainly bribing Duke Cunningham. And the prosecutors had asked for 25 years. Wilkes had asked for much less. 12 years seemed to me about right. If Cunningham was the one actually selling his office, he's the one who went to jail for less than 10. Brent Wilkes getting 12, that's pretty serious time. And I think Brent Wilkes is getting exactly what he deserved, and hopefully the lesson of Wilkes and Cunningham will teach other members of Congress and defense contractors and others who would bribe them that perhaps this isn't a good idea.
Was there any effort at sentencing to trade information for a shorter term?
I think it was a little late for that. Brent Wilkes could have traded information for a shorter term a while ago, and he didn't do it. I think it's always possible he'll be willing to come back later and say, I have information to trade, and he could come back and prosecutors could go to the judge and say, reduce his sentence in return for his cooperation. But Brent Wilkes is still saying he's innocent to this day. And so that you need, in general, in order to reduce your sentence at all, you need to take responsibility for your actions. Mr. Wilkes isn't doing that.
Yeah. Melanie, just yesterday we were talking to Ken Silverstein, the Washington editor for Harper's Magazine. He's got a great story. I think it's called Beltway Bacchanal. About how members of Congress use their campaign funds to pay for expensive meals and flights and fancy hotels and golf tournaments. And in the story was a footnote about some of the friends and family who benefit from the largesse of sitting members of Congress. People like Julie Doolittle, who we've talked about in the past. Her husband is not going to run for re-election from District 4 here in California. But she was getting 15% of every dollar raised by his campaign committees. And your new report called Family Affair shows that this virus affects the United States Senate as well.
Right. We talked earlier last year when Crew had done a report on House members and how they'd used their positions to financially benefit their family members. And now we've done the same report on the Senate. It's much harder in the Senate. First, we did all 100 members. But secondly, the Senate federal election reports are not online. They don't file them electronically like House members do. And this is something that Representative John Ensign from Nevada is helping members keep their campaign records offline. So it makes it's a needle in a haystack. You have to go through every piece of paper with the FEC by hand. It's a very time-consuming process. But what we found is things are slightly different in the Senate and the House. In the House, we saw so many members of Congress putting their family members directly on the campaign payroll. And we did see some of that in the Senate, but what we saw much more in the Senate is that, you know, most members of the American public are not related to a lobbyist. But if you're a senator, odds are you are. And it seems like that there are an awful lot of senators whose family members become lobbyists.
Well, 31, according to your report, have one or more family members registered to lobby.
Right, and that's a lot. That's a pretty high percentage. Some of them, like Richard Lugar, a Republican from Indiana, actually have four members of their own family registered to lobby. So it seems like members are are teaching their family members how to lobby and how to make lots of money from their positions.
Yeah, there's a senator at your door. Melanie, thank you very much. I want people to go to citizensforethics.org and read the report. It's stunning. We'll talk to you next week, Melanie.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. Coming up next, we'll bring you the debate from Cleveland, Clinton and Obama. That's right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. For most people in South Florida, Governor Charlie Crist says the lights are back on and the air conditioners are running this evening.
It looks like almost all the power now has been restored to the 19 million people that live in Florida.
Up to 3 million of them lost power today in a cascading outage. CBS News correspondent Kelly Cobier reports from Miami.
Florida Power and Light blamed the blackout on equipment failure at a power substation in Miami. When it stopped working, it created a power surge, which caused two nuclear reactors at Turkey Point Power Plant south of the city to protectively shut down. Miami-Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, and Monroe counties down to Key West went dark. The outage then triggered a chain reaction through seven power plants.
The outage has reached as far north as Daytona Beach. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has launched an investigation. It could be one of the defining moments of Campaign 08. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama meet for their final debate before next week's primaries. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive joins us live with a preview.
Bill, what kind of Hillary Clinton will we hear? The soft one from last week's debate?
And I am honored. I am honored to be here with Barack Obama.
Or this past Saturday's Clinton.
Shame on you, Barack Obama.
And he may attack her stance on trade deals and Iraq, but Obama said today...
I'm sure it'll be conducted in a civil fashion.
It starts in Cleveland in 1 hour. Reporting live, Dan Revive, CBS News.
Republican John McCain was still on his campaign bus as conservative radio talk show host Bill Cunningham warmed up the audience at a rally in Cincinnati with some caustic comments about Barack Obama.
Well, my fellow Americans, now we have a hack Chicago-style daily politician who's picturing himself as change. When he gets done with you, all you're going to have in your pocket is change.
He repeatedly used the candidate's full name, Barack Hussein Obama. After the rally, McCain apologized.
I absolutely repudiate such comments. And again, I will take responsibility. It will never happen again.
McCain said he disassociates himself from any disparaging remarks about Obama or Hillary Clinton. While controversy rages over experiments with embryonic stem cells, research using adult stem cells shows more promise. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has one man's story.
Barry Gowdy's multiple sclerosis has not put him in a wheelchair because his own stem cells were used to rebuild his immune system.
There's hope. I mean, you don't have to live and be ruled by a disease the rest of your life.
Northwestern University researcher Richard Burke reviewed more than 300 reports of adult stem cell treatments.
Pretty much all reporting the same encouraging results.
But he warns in the Journal of the American Medical Association these results are preliminary. Many questions and issues remain. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The Dow gained 114 points today, closing at 12,684. The Nasdaq up 17 points to 2344. This is CBS News.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, it can save you hundreds by being the one-stop place to compare Progressive's rates to those of other top companies. What's more, if you have any questions, we offer live phone support 24/7. And if you'd like to picture us with soap opera good looks, then go right ahead. What else would you expect in Utopia? Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates may Fayetteville, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates available in most states and situations.
Jackson, go tell Brinkman to speed things up on the job site.
That's a long way, boss, but I'm on my way. Message delivered, sir.
One more thing. Run back and tell him
that... We really need Nextel Direct Connect. I think I pulled a hammy.
Connect at the touch of a button with Nextel Direct Connect from Sprint. Get the rugged new i570 by Motorola. Just $69.99 for your business accounts. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel or call 1-800-SPRINT-1. Sprint. Ends 4-1908. Excludes taxes. Subject to 2-year agreement. Up to $36 activation, $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit. Available corporate liable activations and eligible upgrades only. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Parts of Georgia also cope with power outages today, but the problem there was the weather. Reporter Pete Combs went out to have a look.
Joe DeSalle and his family are trying to clear away the debris and get the power back on after severe weather blasted his home and yard.
Yesterday it was completely wooded with pines. Today it is splintered pine trees about 15 feet tall.
DeSalle's roof is intact, but not those on his neighbor's houses.
Everyone is well. No injuries at all.
The storms injured at least 4 people and left about 100,000 without power for a while, and they left folks like the DeSalle's with a big mess to clean up. Pete Combs, CBS News, Roswell, Georgia.
Former Polish President Lech Wałęsa is being treated for heart failure at Methodist Hospital in Houston. Wałęsa is 64. He might need a transplant. Senator John Warner, who's 81, has checked into a Virginia hospital. He's had a recurrence of irregular heart rhythm. And supermodel Naomi Campbell is hospitalized in Brazil after surgery to remove a small cyst. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
All right. Everyone who enjoys the buying a used car experience, raise your hand. Thought so. Uncertainty does come to mind. But not if it's a Honda-certified used car. They're well-maintained, late-model Hondas. They're given a thorough 150-point inspection and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus, now you can get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000-certified used Honda models. So relax, because while it may be used, it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
I don't call it heartburn. I call it, here it comes again. Eating on the run, food, stress, it's like an obstacle course. I try to get it under control, but I think it's controlling me.
Heartburn isn't funny. That's why Zantac is serious. Just one pill relieves your toughest heartburn all day or all night. So the suffering stops and life starts. Heartburn? Attack it. Zantac. Use as directed.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your humble host, Peter B., and I find myself a little humbler than usual right now because we got all set up and all geared up to bring you the audio from the Cleveland debate of the last debate, if I'm not mistaken, between Obama and Clinton. And it is being broadcast live on MSNBC next hour. In all of the information that I had and the promos that I saw, I was led to believe, or somehow I duped myself into believing, that the debate was happening at 5 o'clock Pacific time, just like the CNN debate from Texas last week. And just as we were gearing up moments ago to plug in and bring you that audio from Cleveland, Ohio, MSNBC put up a countdown saying that the debate will start now in 52 minutes. So due to the vagaries of broadcast situations, and since my show will be off the air at the time that the debate starts, I am unable to bring you the presidential debate as I promised, and I deeply regret it.
Excuse me.
But what the heck? We'll open up the phones and take your calls in the free speech zone. That always works. 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. Let me know what you think about the campaign. Let me know what your thoughts are going into this debate tonight. If you're a Clinton supporter, do you think that she should go for Barack's jugular? Or should she just stay positive, tout her strengths and her policies and her views, and let the chips fall where they may? The advance we're getting is that there's a lot of dissension among Clinton's advisors about how she should do this. And it kind of explains the whiplash that I've been experiencing. Last Thursday, the CNN debate in Texas, Hillary Clinton was not in attack mode. She did bring up the plagiarism issue, but she really wasn't going for blood. And then she gave that final comment that got so much applause and so much recognition, where she seemed to be saying, you know, I may not be winning this thing, and no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. And, you know, let's make sure this all works out for the American people. So it seemed like she was adopting I will accept whatever comes my way from particularly Texas and Ohio. Then she went to Ohio, and in Cincinnati, she unloaded on Barack Obama over the weekend, saying that he should be ashamed for these campaign mailers that he shipped out to Ohio, even though many of those mailers were used in prior states and didn't draw much criticism from the Clinton campaign. Now she has raised issues about his lack of experience and therefore his fitness to serve as commander-in-chief at a perilous time in American history. And this is really interesting because Senator Clinton brought up the obvious inexperience of George W. Bush. Now, he came out of Texas and didn't know diddly, hadn't even traveled the world, and we have paid the price over the last 7 years of an inexperienced president when it comes to foreign policy. But just think back to 1992, when we elected a governor from an even smaller state than Texas. Can you say Arkansas? And a man who had no foreign policy experience whatsoever. And, you know, I think Bill Clinton did pretty well learning on the job. I have disagreed with his foreign policy in a number of respects, mainly that he was late in responding to the challenge in Haiti. He was late in responding to the problems in the Balkans, Bosnia and Serbia, and he completely whiffed on Rwanda. And I would chalk those mistakes, those weaknesses on foreign policy, up to the inexperience of one William Jefferson Clinton. So where does Hillary find it in herself to ding Barack Obama for his obvious lack of foreign policy experience when her own husband had about as much, and to compare him to Bush and not mention Clinton? Well, that is selective campaigning, isn't it? All right, let's go to your phone calls. 888-5-PETER-B. And again, my apologies that I can't bring you the debate, but it's not happening yet, so it's beyond my control. Kevin in Sacramento, thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. I wanted to know what Edwards is going to do with his delegates. Is he going to give it to Clinton or Obama, or is he just going to hold on to them?
Unclear.
Yeah.
It is unclear at this point.
Yeah, like 200-something?
It's in that ballpark. I thought it was in the upper 100 range.
Okay.
But I don't have it in front of me. And of course, there was an interesting piece I read over the weekend that Barack Obama calls John Edwards about twice a week, and Hillary Clinton calls him two or three times a week. And they also check in with Bill Richardson, former presidential candidate, who is the governor of New Mexico.
He's got a couple.
And he didn't win any delegates.
Oh, he didn't? Oh, okay. Yes. I remember he got like 2% on something and 2% there or whatever. But,
yeah, but he doesn't have any delegates to contribute to either Obama or Clinton. And so he's there kind of in a catbird seat, waiting to see who comes out on top, and then he'll offer an endorsement, which could give him access to the VP spot on the ticket.
Definitely.
So let me ask you, Kevin, if you had to choose between Bill Richardson or John Edwards as a VP candidate for either Clinton or Obama, who would it be?
You know, if it was Clinton, I know she would probably, over like the choices she has, she would pick Richardson because he was basically campaigning for that position anyway during the whole time, I thought so. And if it's an Obama ticket, it would go with Edwards, but just because their policies, I think, are a lot alike, you know?
Yeah.
But, and personally, I'm an Obama person, so, and I'm an Edwards person, too. So I would love to see an Obama-Edwards ticket. That is my dream. That would be awesome.
Now, Kevin, I don't dispute that, and I love what John Edwards did on the issues in this campaign. I thought he was very targeted, very focused, and and determined, particularly on economic disparities here in this country. But the simple fact is that John Edwards has not carried a single state in this cycle, and he carried only one in the 2004 primaries. That was South Carolina, and he didn't win it this time.
Yeah, well, the Senate didn't win either, and he was kind of like the backbone of the whole deal, you know, like...
All right, but I'm talking hardball politics here.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
If you're the presidential nominee and you're looking at who as vice president could help you win at least one state, then who would you pick?
Man, you know, it would have to be, if you wanted a lot, I would probably go Obama-Clinton if Obama won, and Clinton-Obama if it goes the other way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just because,
it's unclear to me that chemistry would work, Kevin.
Yeah, I know. but it would be the best of both worlds, because then all the Democrats would go for, you know, either one, because they're like, well, I can settle for Clinton being VP, or, oh, I can settle for Obama, you know?
Yeah.
So I think they'd get all the Democratic votes, and then...
All right, and if Hillary ends up as the VP, what do we do with Bill and his ego?
Make him Secretary of State, I guess. I don't know.
All right, Kevin, great to talk to you. Thanks for the call today. 888-5-PETER-B. We're in the free speech zone. Give me a call. Let me know what's on your mind. You can talk about the Democratic candidates, the debate. You can talk about John McCain. Anything else that you want to bring up, I'm all ears at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Warning, Roy Zimmerman is at it again. Here's his new spoof song about the Democratic superdelegates.
Superdelegate, won't you supersede my decision? Superdelegate, I need your supervision. I can't be trusted to choose my own nominee. Democracy is just too important to leave it up to people like me. So give me my election, 'cause it feels good to check that box. When you've determined how it should have turned out, I'll be right here sucking rocks. 'Cause only when the ballots have all been collected can they be corrected. Superdelegate, won't you supersede my decision? Superdelegate, I need your supervision. When your vote is counted, it's like 10,000 to my one. It's good to know that my representative has such representation. So do someone a favor, and you know they'll remember that. You scratch their back and they'll scratch yours. It's his or her tit for your tat.
Uh-oh.
Democratic Party is too democratic, 'cause Democrats are so erratic. 1972, the nominee was chosen by the people, and that nominee was George McGovern. Ooh, 1976, the nominee was chosen by the people, and that nominee was Jimmy Carter.
What if this falsetto hurts, Ray?
In 1984, the nominee was chosen by the superdelegates. And that nominee was Walter Mondale. Superdelegate.
to supersede my decision.
I'd rather we not supersize it.
I need your super imposition.
And you can hold the fries with that, too. That's Roy Zimmerman. Visit his website, royzimmerman.com. That's fresh out of the studio. Just arrived today. It's called Super Delegates. Got one line open in the free speed zone if you want to chime in. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. We go to your calls next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
From Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic, one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggie Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey and Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Checking traffic on KRXA once again. Quick, easy, and painless. Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Salinas all currently checking and stalling accident-free. You are looking at that heavy traffic southbound 17 onto southbound Highway 1 in Santa Cruz. A little bit of stop-and-go traffic as you head down into the Aptos area. Ben Lomond, northbound 9 between Middle Road and Western Avenue. Left lane shut down for road work until the end of this month. That may cause delays there. Highway 1 northbound at Brant at 40 Avenue. Actually, the overpass is being taken down. That will cause delays. The Paso Tiempo off-ramp shut down as well. Also in Santa Cruz, northbound 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp shut down. That may cause delays there. Highway 68, no stalls and no accidents. And 101 through Salinas, happy traffic so far this afternoon. This is brought to you by H&R Block. You got people. Don't miss out on the federal tax rebate. You can get up to $1,200 or more, but you must file this year. Come into H&R Block now. When you got H&R Block, you got people. That's traffic on KRXA.
All right. One, two,
those who start wars,
fights them.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies. It's time. It's time to go home. Take our boys away.
I hope somebody will remind the candidates of this tonight. It's time to bring the troops home. Rear guard action in the United States Senate. Harry Reid's trying it again. And I don't think he's the strongest leader. But there he is again, trying to block funding for the war in Iraq. I don't think he'll prevail, but I'm glad he's trying. Russell in Sacramento, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. How's it going?
Pretty good. And you?
I'm doing okay. I've spent a little bit of time spent a little bit of time on the message boards this afternoon.
Yeah.
And I keep reading over and over again how if you're not voting for Hillary Clinton, they're going to, like, walk away and not even be part of the November cycle. And I just look at people like that, and I guess it's just a general statement to anybody. It's like, you know, I'm an Obama supporter, and if Clinton wins, she may not be my cup of tea, but I'm going to support her in November because she's going to be 10 times, 100 times better than McCain's going to be. So, I mean, if you're really that adamant about if your candidate doesn't get there, then leave, then really, just go. No one's going to have enough time to wait for you.
Well, Russell, you know, let's just put the Democrats on hold here for a second and look what's going on with the Republicans, okay? We have this right-wing action where they're saying John McCain isn't conservative enough, he's not mean enough about immigration, and he was a member of the Gang of 14. I didn't like that either, but for the right wing to say that disqualifies him from their support is just lunacy. And likewise, I believe in the heat of the primary, people make a lot of statements and claims. And, you know, you know my position. I'm not the biggest fan of Hillary Clinton. But I'll tell you right here, right now, if she's the Democratic nominee, there's no way I'll ever vote for John McCain. And I'm not going to waste a vote on Nader.
Yeah.
And so, likewise, I believe that those who are angry right now, they're Clinton supporters who are saying that they will withhold from Obama. By the time you get to November, only 5% of the people who say that will actually act on it.
Yeah, and I mean, quite frankly, I haven't sat out an election since I was old enough to vote, and I'm not going to start this time because it's just the stakes too high.
You got it, Russell. Thanks for your call. Rob in Sacramento listening to KSAC. Go ahead, Rob.
Hi, Peter B. Rob from Sacramento, and I wanted to say I really like the commentary on the last debate, you and that other guest.
Richard Rappaport. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Right. It was really going good. And then right at 5:30, KSAC cut to a Sac State basketball game that I know that they had a prior commitment, but that was sort of a bummer that I got cut off with, or not, you know, just the whole thing got cut off from your station.
Rob, let me acknowledge this, and you're not the first to bring this up, and I know some people were very disappointed or a little bit angry about it, and we get used to this in the radio business that sports contracts do lead to preemptions. And I once worked on the radio station that was the flagship for the San Francisco Giants, and I counted one time 39 days in a year I was either partially or totally preempted by Giants baseball. And it made it very difficult. You know, on Monday afternoon, I'd say, hey, I'll be back Friday. And I'm not going on vacation. It's just there's a lot of baseball coming up. So
right.
It does happen.
Baseball's a long season. But to answer your question about what's Hillary going to do tonight, I think she's really going to go after Barack. I think the country wants to see it. They want to see some emotion. They want to see some passion from Hillary. But in my opinion, Hillary's done. This is a movement, and I really feel that people are going to still stay with Barack, and Barack is going to be calm in that whole debate tonight, that it's just going to look good for him.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think that she is going to attempt it, and I think that unless she's more successful than she has been in the past, it will backfire on her. Thank you very much, Rob. Thanks for your calls. We're going to take a break here and return. 888-5-PETER-B. There's one line open for you right now. You can grab our podcasts. The link's on the homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view, and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia is the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Live from from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue in the free speech zone, 33 minutes after the hour. My toll-free number is available, 888-5-PETER-B. I'm your humble host with just a little bit of egg on my face. It's right over here under my right eye. I had told you I was going to be able to bring you the audio from tonight's presidential debate in Cleveland. And we made all kinds of arrangements, contacted NBC to get permission to do a rebroadcast. You don't technically need it if you take it off the website, but, you know, I try to play by the rules. And I moved a bunch of wires around and hookups and I have a momentary cable connection, I'll just put it that way, indulged by some neighbors here. And, we get ready to bring you the debate, and I learned that it doesn't start until next hour after we're off the air. So I'm very sorry about that. I wanted to be able to bring it to you, and, I wanted to be able to watch all of it myself, too. And just in case you're paying attention, last night I was on Air America Radio, and all this week from 7 to 10 Pacific time, I'll be sitting in for John Elliott, Coast to Coast on Air America. It pops up on KSAC, I think, at 9 p.m., and maybe on some other stations, too. Best way to find it is on the web at airamerica.com. And at 7 Pacific tonight, Michael Scheuer will kick off our show. We're also going to talk with New York Congressman Gerald Nadler, who is a very progressive Democrat. He sits on the Judiciary Committee. He's on the front lines of the struggle over amnesty for the telephone companies. He'll be on in our second hour. That's 8 o'clock Pacific time tonight. More of your phone calls now, and line four is David in San Francisco. Welcome, David.
Hey, hi, Peter. I'll be looking at the debate, too. I'm sure they're going to say some of this and some of that, and many of them are not going to say anything about global warming, and that's what I was calling about. I've been involved in campaigning ever since I was a little kid. My mom was an elected official back in St. Louis.
And, oh, really? What level?
She was a committee woman, and she was elected twice. My grandfather was also a state assemblyman.
Wow, you must have paper cuts from all those envelopes you stuffed.
Well, that's right, yeah, from the age of about 10, you know, doing a lot of this. And so I was always raised to look at things just like Tip O'Neill used to say, all politics are local. So when I see people constantly looking at the presidential race and ignoring the local races, you know, I just think, my God, these people are going to be damn fools again because the local races are really where the people have control of things. In other words, if things are collapsing all around you, you don't look at the, at the big face, the Wizard of Oz kind of scam where you have a big shiny face and there's a little guy behind the curtain. You look at the sewer board race. You look at the school districts. You look at the water districts. You look at the library board. And in specifics, right now with both global warming and with the subprime big scam involving we've got the opportunity to deal, say, just dealing with the subprime. We've got the ability to kick most corporations out of town by making sure that the both the state secretary of state as well as the county commissioners, the county clerks, end up with the ability to refuse to offer business licenses to companies that don't produce or that are seen as parasites. So, say, for example, with the sheriff's races, if we're going to end up with 2 million people all across, 2 million homes all across America evicted, we have the ability to elect a bunch of sheriffs on the platform that they will not act as the evil sheriff of Nottingham and evict these people who got suckered.
Well, David, let's take that as an example. I think you make an excellent point. And most people are not focused on local issues. Now, there are some people who focus on local issues to the exclusion of national issues, and that's kind of a different disease. But sheriffs, for example, when was the last time you saw a sheriff replaced through the election process? In California, sheriffs get elected, and they've got to embezzle or commit crimes in public view in order to be booted out of office. And, gosh, I cannot think of a recent case in a California county, and if people know of one, feel free to bring it forward and explain it to me. But, you know, from what I follow, I have not seen a sitting sheriff kicked out of office in California since I started living here 32 years ago.
Well, I'm sure there are. I'm thinking specifically of Hunter Thompson. You know, the reason he ran for sheriff in Aspen, Colorado in, what was it, 1972 or something, was because it was getting to be so expensive up there that you had all of these fat cats coming into the area and evicting people who had been, born and raised in that county. And that Hunter Thompson ran for sheriff and almost won. You know, I believe he came in within a couple of points of winning that race.
That would have been a scene.
Based on the platform that he was not going to evict people.
And he would have legalized all kind of drug use, too.
Well, that's probably true, but in the specific race of issue or the issue in that year was exactly what's going on right now, evictions.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left Colorado about 20 years ago, the mayor of Aspen as well as the mayor of Vail, Colorado, both wealthy skiing towns, they were about to be impeached because they were found to be living out of town because they couldn't afford to live in the town that they were the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
They were both local residents that had been evicted from their own homes by the high cost of living of the movie stars and whatnot that were moving in. And in this case, you know, we've got the Citicorps and the major corporations that are buying up America with fraudulent contracts. We don't have people like Arnold protecting us. Mm-hmm. We don't have the attorney generals going out of their way to see to it that these people are not getting evicted. And the second angle of the local races is the local county clerks. The county clerks have the ability to deny business licenses to Walmarts.
Well, we also care about the election officials, some of whom are county clerks. Some have a separate title of registrar of voters. But that's a very important case where people don't pay attention at the local level, and then they wonder why their elections go sideways and aren't credible and transparent.
Sure.
David, you make a great point. Thanks a lot for calling today. Sean is on the line, and Sean, it doesn't tell me where you're from. Fill me in.
I'm from Monterey.
Welcome, Sean. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yeah, I called because of what's recently been going on with Hillary and how she's really ridiculing Obama. And I feel like I know or I have an idea of what she needs to do if she has any chance of possibly winning. But I'm right in the middle. One day I'm for Hillary, next day I'm for Obama.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but so I have moved over after hearing her last night ridicule people with vision. I mean, she was being sarcastic.
Yes, she said the heavens would open, right?
And exactly. And when I heard that, I was in shock. It was like, oh, my gosh, she is ridiculing vision, which is absolutely necessary. And so I'm leaning it today with Obama. What worries me about him is that his lack of, a lot of experience. But as more and more people support him who are in politics, it makes me feel more comfortable that he will get good advice. And that makes me more comfortable to vote for him.
And Sean, here's an interesting angle that came from Robert Perry, who's a guest on our show every week. And you can read it at consortiumnews.com. But he makes the point that Obama, and I want to separate this into two pieces. If you look at the first round of money raised by Obama and Clinton, a lot of it came from the same sources, Wall Street, corporate executives, in Obama's case, the nuclear power company, Exelon. But when you look at the fundraising in the last 3 months, Barack Obama has been receiving tens of thousands of contributions on the internet from average people, and the average donation is under $100. And what this means is it sends shockwaves through Washington. It means that he's not going to owe the lobbyists as much. He might owe them a little bit, but he's not going to owe them as much as if they had been the primary source of his campaign money.
Yeah, that's right. And what the other thing I like about him is that he is mixed culture. He's mixed, or open certainly to various cultures, and he's mixed race. He's got half his genes from a Caucasian, though I don't know where his mother's from exactly, culturally, I mean, genetically, and then half of his genes are African American. I think that's fabulous to have that combination. But the thing that I would advise Hillary at this point, although I'm not sure I would vote for her at this point, is that I think that she needs to acknowledge his vision, his ability to move people. She needs to be really acknowledging his strengths showing that she really appreciates that. But possibly if she throws out the idea that in 8 years, when he has more experience, he would just be incredible. And, you know, maybe she should take the first date and he should take the second date type of idea. it's probably too late now, but that type of idea where, yeah, you'll get her with experience now, and then when he's ready, you know, he can take the next date, and we'll have Democrats in there for 16 years.
Well, it's hard to make deals like that.
Well, yeah, I know.
Sean, thanks a lot for your call. Are you a first-timer?
Yeah.
Well, welcome. And call me again, will you?
Yeah, well, I listen to you all the time.
Thank you very much. Richard in Carmel Valley, listening to our flagship radio station, KRXA.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to suggest a strategy for Hillary. Maybe you can pass it on.
All right. Yeah, I got a number right here. I got my cell phone, so in fact, she's probably busy. I'll use my thumbs and text her, okay?
Yeah, good idea. I would love to see her do something really bold. I'm not a fan, but I think if she has any chance, it's to take a huge strategy risk, and that is to, she calls herself a progressive, let's see it. Let's hear her say that lobbyists won't be allowed in the White House, that the environmental standards, CAFE standards will be doubled, that electric vehicles will be supported, and that oil and nuclear and coal subsidies will be taken away and given to the renewable clean energy, and that she'll push for impeachment of Cheney and Bush, and that she'll support a public works program to put people to work and rebuild our infrastructure, and she'll have a single-payer health program. And so all these things, I think she would get a huge support from people, maybe like myself, who want these things but don't hear her doing anything different.
Yeah.
And if she loses, she has paved the way for Barack Obama to do more of those things that he would never get done if he is considered the out in left field. He'll be beat up unmercifully, and she would take that heat, and if she lost it, that she would have taken it, and he can be the more moderate and still get a lot of things done that he would not be able to get done otherwise.
Well, Richard, I like you the way you think, but my perception of the Clintons, and I'll say this about both of them, because clearly Bill is a key strategist on the team, they don't take risks like that. They don't, they're not progressive people.
Suffering.
They won't
have anything new to bring.
They won't repudiate the corporate interests. They triangulated through the 90s with a lot of support from Wall Street. And so, and I say this in a loving way, it is a progressive pipe dream, sir.
It won't be the first time I was accused of having one of those.
Thank you, Richard.
All right, thank you.
I love my callers. 888-5 Peter B. The lines are jammed right now. We'll take more calls after a quick break. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
traffic one last time on KRXA, and not a whole lot going on this evening. Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Salinas all checking and stalling accident-free. Just a heads up, in Morgan Hill, northbound 101 before Tennant Avenue, it's a big piece of metal, and we have cars swerving to avoid that in the middle lane. Highway 17, as you go through the Santa Cruz Mountains, no problems to tell you about. 68's been really good this afternoon. Still have that road work in Ben Lomond, northbound Highway 9, Middle Road out to Western Avenue. The left lane shut down until the end of this month. Be prepared for delays. Southbound 17, as you get onto southbound Highway 1 in Santa Cruz, you are going to see some heavy traffic there. Also, northbound 1 at the Brancy 40 Avenue overpass, that's still coming down. That road work is going to cause delays on Highway 1 itself, and northbound 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp shut down as well. This is brought to you by Domino's 2 times Tuesday deal. You got two large pizzas on Tuesday. You got them both for the price of one. You got them hot. You got them to your door. Domino's, you got 30 minutes. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Three more wheels have come off the Straight Talk Express. John McCain's bluster in the face of the New York Times article last week bought him a couple of days. But as always, the truth will find its way to the surface. One of the issues that was raised is that McCain intervened and wrote some inappropriate letters to the Federal Communications Commission because Bud Paxson wanted to buy a television station in Pittsburgh. Bud Paxson's lobbyist is the woman who has been alleged to be too friendly with John McCain. Well, one of the issues is that McCain said that both Paxson and a public television station in Philadelphia were frustrated with the slow process of FCC decision-making. But here is Gerald Starr from the Save Pittsburgh Public Television campaign. It never happened. He said that's a bold-faced lie that McCain said that both parties were frustrated by the proceedings. And... good luck, Johnny. Keep talking straight, or just keep talking. Jake from Eureka, welcome to the program today. How are you?
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Pretty good.
You know, considering John McCain's blatant hypocrisy on the issue of lobbying, not to mention his call for American troops remaining in Iraq for the next 100 years, to call his campaign the Straight Talk Express, you know, it's really not right. He should be calling it the Straight Jacket Express at this point.
Ooh, good line.
Speaking of Hillary Clinton, my advice to her would be, to go out gracefully. You know, as a person who has lost a bit of her public office on more than one occasion, losing is not the greatest thing for a person's ego. But if you respect the democratic process and if you respect the voters themselves, And you have to respect their decision.
Well, and you have to have self-respect when it's all over.
That's right. You don't want to be a sore loser, you know, and the thing is, Hillary's looking like a sore loser. The Democratic voters across the country are clearly choosing Obama. You know, he's the better general election candidate, and Hillary needs to recognize that if she's really going to do her part to put a Democrat in the White House, even if it's not herself, she doesn't need to be tearing down Obama at this point. The voters clearly have spoken. They want him to be the nominee.
Well, and so many of her claims really don't hold up to close examination. It may work with her existing supporters, but she doesn't persuade people to switch to her by saying that she's got more experience. After all, the most critical element of her experience was her vote in the Senate in 2002, and she blew it, and she can't admit it.
That's
and,
right.
And so I really think that the case they've been trying to make is an empty one, and voters, for the most part, have figured that out. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, Robert in Daly City, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. I wanted to make a couple comments about Valerie Plame and Sybil Imons, the translator of Middle Eastern languages.
Sure, I know Sybil, and we have covered her case. In fact, we were one of the first radio programs to give her an interview when her story first broke about 4 years ago.
The intersection of their life stories is very interesting, and it happens right at the Project for New American Century and the neocons. And you got one person, Sybil, who's translating all this stuff, and it looks to her like possibly illicit nuclear weapons are being traded on the black market, and you got the world head of the nuclear anti-proliferation for the U.S. Being outed and fired by the same neocons, and That's a story that people need to pay attention to, because they're miniaturizing nukes in the United States right now, which it can only lead to proliferation. So is this whole thing, the war on terror, really a false flag thing, a phony war to build up the military-industrial complex?
Don't know about that. But in terms of false flags, I mean, there's certainly a lot of issues out there. And I want Sybil Edmonds to be heard. I've talked with her many times, and there's still a lot of stuff I don't know that she knows. But what I've learned is extremely important, and she deserves to be heard. The American people really need to know what her allegations are, and we need to find out if Grossman, the number three or two guy at the State Department under Colin Powell, actually did tip off his Turkish pals that Valerie Plame Wilson was working for a CIA cover company called Brewster Jennings.
Well,
and so far, Henry Waxman, for all of his achievements and his tough stance as an investigator and a whistleblower, he has not been willing to honor his promise to Sybil Edmonds and let her testify under oath and in public.
And Peter, what really disturbs me is there's a U.S. weapons inventor, nuclear weapons scientist, who assures us inevitability of a nuclear attack upon the United States. And this guy actually makes the weapons, and then you find out that the neocons are involved in this type of stuff, potentially, of trading on black market nukes across the country. And then Valerie Plame, whose job is to watch these guys, gets outed by the same people. I mean, hey, there's something called treason, and people need to... I don't know. They say this, that democracies do not act first, that they always are behind the ball. Well, I say this, it's time for us to wake up and get ahead of the curve on this one, people.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate your comment. Nick in Sacramento, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, hi, Peter. I was astounded that person that called in and was talking about the sheriff not evicting people. Is the sheriff going to stop the power company from shut off the power because they don't pay their power bill? They don't pay their water bill. They just live there for free. Can they expect to go into a gas station because gas prices are so high and not pay for gas? This is crazy. I mean,
I hear what you're saying, Nick, and no matter who the sheriff is, a sheriff is required by law and by his or her oath of office to carry out orders like evictions and arrests and, garnishing of wages, a lot of unpopular duties. And if you saw Michael Moore's first film, Roger and Me, there was a sequence where this local sheriff was there evicting people from their homes during the last big downturn in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So I take your point, Nick. Thank you very much. I want to squeeze in one more call, and it's Ron in Davis, right?
Yeah.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, Pete. Or Peter. You know, the European intellectuals, they look at the United States as having one party, and that's the neoliberal party, which is based on Friedman's idea of free trade, the market, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And Clintons are absolutely, I mean, Hillary is the, I mean, the poster child for that, and so is Bill Clinton. So there's I really second your point around no progressive anything with the Clintons. I mean, Hillary would probably join the Bohemian Grove if she could, because her husband's a member, so is Bill Richardson. So
thank you, Ron. I'm out of time, but you get the last word, and I love it. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Sorry I blew it on the debate, but it's coming up in a few minutes, and you can watch it on television on MSNBC. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same great radio stations. And I'm on Air America tonight, 7 to 10 Pacific time. Log on to airamerica.com.
Until then, who cares about the clouds?
We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, to the contrary. My girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène. Which is, again, something that people make in the south of France, pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins and see what happened.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. 1 week before the crucial primaries in Texas and Ohio, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama just sat down for one final debate. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive joins us live.
The debate about to start at Cleveland State University. The two candidates came out on stage. You hear the audience reaction. Today, she recalled saying, "Shame on you, Barack Obama."
I got a little hot over the weekend down in Cincinnati. I don't mind having a debate. I don't mind airing our differences.
But Senator Chris Dodd, who used to be in this race, standing today with Obama, endorsing Obama, said,
"This is a moment of unity in our country, a time when we need to come together as a Democratic Party."
And Obama said tonight's debate, he's sure, will be civil. Reporting live, Dan Revive, CBS News.
In Britain, where it's the middle of the night, an earthquake shook large parts of the country, centered about 125 miles north of London. It woke many people from their sleep and caused high-rise buildings to sway. In Leicester, Sky News reporter Lucas Barak awoke with a start.
The whole house was just shaking from left to right, you know. It wasn't a sort of a slight wobble. I thought the bottom of the bed was going to fall over.
So far, no reports of injuries. The U.S. Geological Survey says it was a magnitude 4.7. Just about everyone in Florida has electricity now after a massive blackout this afternoon.
I'm Peter King. Florida Power and Light says the system did what it was supposed to do by shutting down in chain reaction fashion. Florida Emergency Management spokesman Mike Stone says that's what helped get the juice back online so quickly.
The fact that individual pieces can be systematically taken offline and protectively taken offline allows them to come back online much faster.
By early evening, less than 20,000 customers were without power, a far cry from the 4 million or so who were in the dark when it all began just 5 hours earlier, perhaps the shortest big blackout ever. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
After 6 years of war with repeated and long deployments in combat, some say the Army is broken. But Army Secretary Preston Guerin told Congress today that it's not that bad.
Our Army remains strong. It's stretched. It's out of balance. But it's resilient.
He appeared before the Senate Armed Services Committee with Army Chief of Staff General George Casey, who said he expects to reduce combat tours from 15 months to 12 this summer when the surge is over. Two U.S. senators are hospitalized this evening. West Virginia Democrat Robert Byrd, who's 90 years